The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Hey, there's even a fridge! This is great! You can put 6 packs of soda in here. Milk, yogurt, you can put candy bars in the freezer.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Hey, I tell you what, you can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it? No, I mean, you can get a good look at a T-bone by sticking your head up a butcher's ass, but then, no, it's got to be your bowl.
Paul Perillo.
I have what doctors call a little bit of a weight problem. I used to grab bear claws as a kid, 2 at a time.
That guy in a little coat. That guy in a little coat.
And Andy. And Andy?
You know where the weight room is?
Andy Hart.
Were you watching Spanktrovision? Maybe you were watching a movie with that funny comedian. Oh, what's his name? Buddy Wackett?
Hey, that's a pretty girl down there.
Geez, I wonder if she goes out with one of the Yankees.
Eric Scalavino.
I don't like you. Probably never will. You're a smug, unhappy little man, and you treat people like they were idiots.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
I'm going to make a toast to the best bunch of freaks ever born. Maybe we weren't the smartest guys.
Maybe we spent a little too much time puking off balconies.
But we had fun, huh?
Yeah! All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium, getting closer to the Denver Broncos coming to town on Sunday, a 4:25 start. Take on the New England Patriots. Peyton Manning, a lot of hype. People talking about the rivalry renewed. And, you know, it's one of those friendly rivalries, I guess, because word is that when Brady was out with his injury, Peyton offered him support. And when Peyton was out, Brady called him and said, anything I can do. So there's a little love affair going on between the quarterbacks. And obviously the Broncos and the Patriots, you know, those two teams, they've had some memorable games, no doubt. But nowhere near the rivalry of teams, you know, like, you know, let's say the Jets or Dolphins. But still, it's an exciting game. I think the Broncos come in as more of an unknown than, you know, most teams that the Patriots are playing this year. You just, you know, there's not enough evidence to know how good they're going to be this season. But whenever you're playing Peyton Manning, it's a big challenge. There's no doubt that mentally he's as good as he's ever been, probably better. Because, you know, with age, you know, you get more experience, and, you know, that part of your game never goes down. So it's going to be a great game. Paul and Andy just came from the locker room. What's going on in the locker room?
Steven Gostkowski had a long chat with the media today, obviously, about his confidence and missing the kicks. And he looks a little weary, I'll be honest with you, visually.
Really?
But he said all the right things. You know, I made a lot of kicks in this league. I'm going to make them again. And it's just technique, and didn't find anything on film. It's not anything specific. He said, I'm crushing the ball on kickoffs, so that's good.
He is.
And he set his confidence high. He leaves it here. I asked him, is this one of those things, you know, you take it home with you? And he said, no, I have a great family, great wife. I leave this here. When I go home, I don't talk about football and missing kicks or anything. He said the right things. Now we'll see if he can do it. He even talked about, I asked him, is waiting the hardest part? Because, like, a cornerback gets toasted. At least he gets, boom, right back. And he has to wait for a next kick or even the next game. And he said being a pitcher helps that. You get shelled as a pitcher, you got to wait till the next week to pitch again. So his mentality as a kicker and a pitcher has always been having to deal with the downtime between failures.
Did he talk about, like, anything specific that they doesn't practice a sort of...
Nothing.
Kind of put pressure on yourself so you kind of, you know...
No. He said, if I wasn't working hard, or, you know, maybe I'd have concerns, but I'm working hard. I'm kicking a ton. It's just one of those things. I'm in a slump. I'm just missing. A couple kicks I missed were close. And, you know, he'll start making kicks again. He's confident in that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Paul?
What?
Well, I
think you had something else.
There was one back and forth with a reporter who actually wanted – Bill Belichick was very supportive of him this week. On the radio, well, in his press conferences, he said, you know, it's not just the kicker, that's a three-man,
right.
Blah, blah, blah. And then he was supportive of Gostkowski on the radio, and a reporter said, is it good to have that support? And Gostkowski said, I didn't hear it. And the reporter started to say, well, I'll tell you what he said. And he said, I don't want to hear it, basically. So I just found that was a little bit interesting watching that unfold.
I don't want to hear it.
I don't know what it meant or whatever.
All right. Maybe I don't want to hear from you.
I mean, it wasn't a big deal. I'm not trying to fluff it up. Or anything. I just thought it was interesting. But I give him credit for standing. I mean, he could have easily hid this week. He's a kicker.
Yeah.
Just go off somewhere and don't show up and all that. He fought the fire with fire.
All right.
Yeah, a couple of the groups today. Vince Wilfork opened, as he has generally done on Thursdays. He opened the locker room.
Yeah, he literally does. As soon as you walk in, he's right there going.
And I didn't hear much of him. Brandon Spikes, who doesn't talk all that often, had a similar large group around him. Very entertaining. Talked a lot about, you know, the hits and the excitement and that kind of stuff. The stuff that Andy and I have been talking about with the Andy's SEC linebacker corps, how he seems to be rubbing off. Talked about his basketball play. Claims, Freddie, that he was a finesse basketball player.
I am buying it.
Okay. Andy and I laughed at that because we weren't really involved. Eric was down there, and Eric told us some of the stuff that Spike said. We're not buying. Can you imagine that a guy that size who hits the way he does in football being a finesse basketball
like
player?
Like Ron Artest, probably.
Yeah.
Well, the elbow.
Or even like LeBron. Like, you know, LeBron
just
can't
violent.
Be a finesse player with the size that he is.
Yeah.
You know? So, not buying that.
But it's another example. The crowd breaks up and all the media is laughing. He's smiling, laughing. He is very good at this media thing that he does infrequently.
Yeah.
And I heard one media member we were talking to say, you know, is this because of his lifting his stature kind of because we have talk of Troy Brown called him the best run-stopping
linebacker in football.
I don't really buy it. If he wanted to do that, he could have done it post-game when he didn't talk. I don't think he's comfortable doing it for some reason, and yet he's really, really good at it. It's this weird dichotomy or whatever. I don't know. He also had some ugly clothes on.
Spikes?
And I like orange, and he had a Gators hat that looked like this big print that looked like it was from about 25 years ago. And then an orange shirt that said something about hoodlums or something.
Yeah, and I got a chance to talk to Devin McCourty just for a quick second, and he talked a lot yesterday about not wavering in his confidence. We talked about that on the show. You know, we keep getting these questions, a lot of emails about the cornerbacks and how they don't look back. They're in position, but they don't look back.
For the ball, right.
Right,
yeah.
So I asked him about it specifically. I said, you know, we get a lot of questions about it technique-wise, and he explained how it's not really the technique to always look back. He goes, yeah, there are times where you can sort of feel a guy, and when you're on it, you're comfortable in your coverage and where you are, and that clock has gone off in your head, you know you can turn around. But what happened? He said to me, he goes, what happens if you turn around and the ball's not thrown yet? And I said, well, I know, and I was sort of kind of playing, you know, I was trying to play the role of Fred Kirsch, like, oh, I get it, but, you know, these other guys. You know,
I'm trying to explain it to the morons.
You know, I was trying to be kind of like a sympathetic look. And I said, you know, a lot of people, it's a very common thing, and, you know, Kyle was right there, Devin was right there, why don't they turn around? And I would say that that's not always the technique to do that. And he said, well, what you said is right, but you'll never convince them.
Yeah,
you'll never.
No,
convince
it must
them.
Not so be that easy because you see a lot of guys, and the first thing, turn around. You know, why don't you turn around?
And what he's saying is he hears the people that say that, and there's nothing he can do to sort of fight back against that. What is he going to say? Like, this is what I'm supposed to. It's a losing battle, and that's this. I'm putting words in his mouth, but basically he said you'll never convince them of that. Them being the people that said you need to turn around.
The noise.
So. So I thought it was interesting, and he's really mentally strong to handle sort of the ups and downs that he's gone through. And obviously he was in a down for last year, and the last 2 weeks it was, you know, way down against Baltimore and back up with the two picks. So it'd be interesting to see how he handles it.
Yeah, I mean, if there's one thing to his credit that we've always seen is mental strength. I mean, he does not let this stuff get to him.
And he does have, it was brought to my attention, I didn't actually hear it, but on Monday on EEI with Ordway, apparently Bill brought up kind of the fact that he doesn't have a lot of, McCourty doesn't have a lot of support outside of the locker room, and there's a lot of criticism coming, but that he's very much supported within the locker room, and that Bill is one of those people supporting him. So that probably makes it easier. Even if the noise, quote unquote, is critiquing you, if Bill Belichick says, keep working, we're getting where we want to go, that's easier.
Well, it's like me. It's as long as, you know, the crafts aren't upset with me,
right.
I'm good.
Right, pretty much, yes.
Everybody else can be upset with me.
As long as Bill is relatively happy with McCourty, it's okay.
Right. webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline down here at the Subway Fresh Broadcast Studios.
Well done.
Did we pick up another sponsor for something? I thought we did.
Picks.
Oh, when Picks.
Today.
What are they?
Subway.
Subway is also the Picks?
Yes. Okay. Subway Fresh Picks or something?
Something like that? Okay.
Subway Meaty Picks
of the
week?
We don't get sandwiches with the Picks?
Let me get some sandwiches.
I tried for that and got shut down.
Oh, I don't
know. Katie Bell shut me down.
Wow. You know, I would think that, you know,
who?
We should be eating.
Do you not know anybody that works
we
here?
We should be eating Subway sandwiches when we're doing the Picks. If it's sponsored by Subway.
I'll take your paper.
Subway.
Subway.
They make a chicken. It's like a chicken teriyaki type of sandwich. It's delicious.
Really?
Yeah. Really good. It's got some kind of sauce.
I would have tried it.
Had they given us,
had
free,
they given
subs.
Us free subs.
Right.
But since they haven't, screw them.
It's going to be big, Freddie. Once we get to that, I'll have copy for you to read.
The best thing about...
You know he can't read, right?
The best thing about Subway is the bread.
Put the typos in it, so...
Yeah. The best thing about Subway is their bread. That's for sure. That's what they've got going for them. Is
freshly baked?
Freshly baked bread.
Freshly baked
As
bread.
As I said, make sure you put the typos in there.
Right.
Shouldn't you maybe... tape something with him so you could just play it. I'm not sure he's in the business.
Oh no, they want the live.
I want it to sound organic.
They want the
live
read, Andy.
But much better. Paul was on.
So now we call bad organic.
Freddie, big time contributor yesterday to my spot.
I think your guys' reaction was the right one. They had a sort of one of those topics that everyone was chiming in on. What was the best, worst coaching hire ever in Boston sports history? The worst coaching
is Bobby
hire.
V the worst one,
and of
ever.
Course that comes because of him probably being fired today.
Poor guy.
You know, 1 year, and I chimed in ML Carr, but I think correctly they pointed out that he was hired to fail. You know,
they wanted a guy that they could control, put a smiley face on,
right. Smile,
be friendly with the media, so they could lose as many games as they could to try to get Tim.
You know, and I just remember that last year where. They just, oh, no, that's not what we did.
Championship
it was,
driven.
It was just so obvious that right. what's what they were doing is that this guy was just a pawn. So I guess it was an actual good hire.
Right.
Because for that reason.
Yeah, but I think but ML Carr was a good addition to that conversation. But he tweeted, he got all mad at me. He texted me, right? And it said, M-I, like Michigan.
Well, it was a
like
small capital M, so it looked like M-I.
Yeah, see, I thought it was a capital I.
Right.
But, you know, now that you say that, as soon as you text, I was like, oh, my God, what an idiot.
So I
but it looked like M-I.
They're talking about this. So I text Paul, ML Carr, ? Or
and that's all he wrote was M-I Carr.
He's like, what does that mean? I'm like, and then
then he goes, worst hire. I go, worst hire, M-I Carr? And he goes, ML Carr, you idiot.
So we're having like an Abbott and Costello thing on text.
Now, was this on TV? Could I see this on the show?
No, well, the texting took place during a commercial break.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I'd like to see you like.
Right. But, Paul, you were getting into it with Tony.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
About the running
pass. I love going at Tony. He's just so easy.
But you and Felger are to on the same page.
Yeah, you know what I kept doing yesterday? Like, first 5 minutes of the show. I said, you know, we were going back and forth, and I looked at Tony. I said, I agree with Mike. And I looked at Tony. I just stopped. I go, now I can see it. It's easy. I see how you do it. It's easy. And that was like the running gag the rest of the show.
I think I'm gonna boycott that show.
Why?
Because of their new you can't say,
hi,
how are you?
That's utterly ridiculous.
I mean, I think that just proves what a douchebag Mike Felger is.
Do you know Felger hangs up on people if they say, hi, how you doing?
I mean, there's no time for a one-second pleasantry. Yeah.
I do like, though, that when they hang up on people with bad connections, like quick.
Oh, that's different.
That's different.
You can't hear it.
But hanging up on somebody for saying.
It's not just a hanging up. I love when Felger goes on his rant about the bad phones. He's funny. He's funny.
You got me on a better connection.
You know, it's 2012. You can't have a phone that you.
But everybody has a bad connection at some point if you have a cell phone. It's not like if you buy a good cell phone, like an iPhone is like a great phone, and I have Verizon. I'm supposed to have the best plan on the and I get bad connections sometimes.
Right.
It's got nothing to do with.
It's not about
Paul's
phone.
Archaic flip phone.
It's not about.
It's just
the phone.
Funny.
Well, I don't think it's funny to say you're not allowed to say hello, good day to someone. That's douchebaggery.
Yeah, it's funny.
They're number one in the ratings.
No, it's funny.
And I hope they fail because of it. I hope people boycott them.
To me, it's funny if you say you're going to do it, but it's not so funny.
No,
when a guy
to really
waited
do it.
Literally. Yesterday, an
Actually,
hour.
That's the funny part of it.
An hour and 12
minutes. You're kind of an a-hole, too.
An hour and 12 minutes a guy waited yesterday.
I just think it's typical
of Felger.
Hey,
how you doing?
Yeah,
and he hung
up. I think it's ridiculous to make somebody wait that long.
You've done it.
You know what they should do? You know what sports radio should do? They should have like a paging system where you call in and you get on a queue, and then when they're ready to talk to you, they ping you, and then you call right then and there. I think that would be...
Like Billy yesterday, the guy who does the communications, Billy Lanny, he doesn't usually answer the calls. There's usually an intern that does that, but yesterday he was getting on with every caller after they were already queued up. And you go, all right, listen, do not say, hi, how you doing? Just get to your point, because he's going to hang up on you. Like he was trying to protect, because right. They were all mad. In the booth, they were mad at Felger.
Oh, sure.
I think it's the ultimate douchebag move. I really do. I mean, I don't see a solid argument for it.
Like
just pretend that it takes time. It takes no time.
To me, it's funny to say it. It's not funny to do it. When you actually do it, it's not funny.
Yeah, terrible.
I only watched.
He hung up on three people.
Yeah, I only listened to your
terrible
segment,
human being. So. Terrible human
you know,
being.
But then you know, a guy calls up and says, "Hey, congratulations about the ratings."
That
didn't waste any time. I took a shot at him.
Okay,
and I also got a PFW in progress plug in yesterday, and they all yelled at
me. Oh, I know, but that was good, Paul.
They all yelled at me.
Good segment.
Because
good chemistry.
At one point, Mike and Tony were just yelling at each other. Tony and I were yelling at each other, and Mike just sat back. I go, it's kind of like me today on PFW in Progress. Andy and Fred just went at it. It was great. And then Bertrand goes, he's got to get that plug in every week.
Well,
it's contractually obligated.
No, really. Do they not expect you to plug where you're coming from?
You don't really think they were mad about it, do you?
I think they make fun of you about
No,
it.
They made fun of me. It's fun.
It's funny because he's fat.
You should do it more then, Paul. Give out the 1-800 number. All right, Web Radio.
I did that in the middle of that Rich Kimball main guy in the middle of the show the other day. I go, actually, 1-800-494-PATS, literally in like the middle of it.
Good.
That if I did that on the weekly
F them
appearance, that would be a little bit much.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web Radio at Patriots.com. What are we thinking? Have we changed our thoughts at all about this game, or you know?
I'm looking forward to this game a lot. I think I'm in the minority. I think it's going to be a very good game, and
who doesn't think it's
going to
be a good game?
Don't you guys think they're going to blow them out?
No.
All right. We're all in lockstep.
And just so
what's a blowout?
Just so I don't get criticized, I did not say
14.
Blowout. I did say the Patriots would win this, and it would be one of those games where you feel that they're in control throughout.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't necessarily.
I think
feel
it's going to be a close game.
I think this is going to be a game from last year that they may win by 14. It may end up like 35-24 or something.
The one in Denver.
But
when all of a sudden they found...
They got a last
score. Like every game last
year.
I think
I'm now feeling about this team the way I felt last year. The offense is going to score 30-plus. The defense is going to give away 20-plus. And depending on a play here or there, it might get tighter than that
or wider.
The Patriots
might be a little bit better than the other team, so they'll finally find a way to get that two-score.
But, I mean, you talked like when we were coming in about, you know, not really sure what Manning is and the... I think they've kind of shown themselves. They have a pretty good defense. They're going to score points. He's going to throw. I mean, aside from a quarter in Atlanta, he has moved the ball well. He has thrown for 300 yards. He's had a couple 120-plus games.
You say they've shown they have a pretty good defense. I've also heard analysts say the defense stinks.
Well, I don't know who says that.
I don't think the defense is very good.
There's one.
I don't know who says their defense stinks. I mean,
I don't think it stinks.
They've already played
overrated.
Well, if people think it's really good, I think it's overrated. I don't know what people rate it.
Well, first of all,
better than the Ravens.
Really good.
Better than the Ravens?
On par with the Ravens.
No.
On par with the Cardinals.
I think they're pretty. Oh, no.
No.
I think the Cardinals have a good
defense. So then I think the
Cardinals have a better defense than the Ravens.
The Patriots should win okay. They should be okay then, I think.
Why?
If they're not as good as the.
But Denver's better than both of those teams offensively.
Far better.
You think so?
Absolutely.
Better than the Ravens?
Peyton Manning?
Well, yeah, it is Peyton Manning, but
anybody can have a bad game, but Peyton Manning is a better player than Joe Flacco.
Okay, so
even four neck surgeries.
And you know, like they're 2-2, but they've played the Falcons, they've played the Texans, and both of them they only lost by six.
And they played the Steelers.
No, good point. Good.
Well,
point.
I actually don't include the Steelers among. Like,
yeah,
really
we don't know them
teams.
Yet.
They might have a bad year.
What don't you know about?
They might have a bad year. Steelers.
I think Houston is light years ahead of Pittsburgh.
Oh yes,
and lose by six to that's.
But
a good
I'm just
quote
talking
unquote,
about the,
good loss.
I mean, open
and
up
in their
the
wins,
season.
They've scored 30-plus points.
And,
so
and this, you know, that Falcons game, you know, I think that if he had just had that first quarterback,
they probably could have won
that game.
If they had five more minutes at the end, they might have won.
Right.
So I think you've seen. I think this is pretty miraculous. I mean, I know he's Peyton Manning, but he missed an entire year. Change teams, and by going to that team, they had to change their entire offense from a high school offense to an actual passing attack. And in doing so, They've hit the ground running. There hasn't been this gross transition
not
phase.
Not that they had to change. He came in and installed his own offense.
No, but they had to change.
Yeah,
but they you weren't going to ask him to run the dive
option.
They
had to change it. But I'm saying, all the more, I'm giving more credit to Manning. Manning comes in there and
That's actually easier for him.
He comes in as a quarterback slash coordinator almost.
But I think that makes it easier for him because he's just running what he's always run.
But
as is Stokely,
but
as
that's
is
a lot
Tammy.
Of work on to have to do that to, you know, show the coordinator and the receiver, this is what I want to do.
I think the only thing they're really missing, or two things, is offensive line play to get back to where he doesn't get touched, because that's not where he's at right now. He's getting banged around a little bit right now, and that's not good. And B is getting the outside receiver that you really think is good. Demaryius Thomas has been okay. He's put up some numbers, but he's not, you know, Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison, same page.
Yeah.
You know, let's play blind, and I promise I'll hit you at the spot kind of yet.
Different kind of player. I agree with Andy.
So a comfortable win this weekend is legit, right?
Oh, this is a good win if you win by 14 points or.
Yeah.
I
think for them it's another good loss.
I like to.
You know, they're probably going to say, we had to go on the road against an elite team, and
if so they're competitive, though, I mean, if they just get blasted, like if they lose, like they lost to Houston, then I would say, like you said, I mean, well, you know. The Patriots are better. They went on the road. The Patriots are better. And they were competitive. They were right there with them, and they lost.
Yeah, by the way, for all those people that don't agree, the Patriots have a pretty easy schedule. The Broncos open up with just an ass-whooping.
Pittsburgh, Atlanta, Houston, and the Patriots.
Right.
Four of the first five games.
And three on the road?
Two of them are on the road. Atlanta and the Patriots.
That's a tough one for a team that's kind of changing a lot.
No,
rebuilding.
I agree.
If the Patriots go out and go 38-14, something like that, that's a really impressive win, absolutely. But I caution the whole thing with the, like, well, then this is what it is on Thursday. I mean, I want to see the game unfold. Like, if you told me before the game that the Patriots are going to beat Buffalo by 24, I would have said, well, that's a good win. Well, it didn't really unfold the way that a 24-point game generally unfolds.
Right. If the Patriots make the same mistakes against Denver that they did against Buffalo in that first half, they probably
will
lose.
Even if you take the eight turnovers in that game aside, and let's just say it's 21-21 after three and the Patriots just blow doors off in the fourth quarter, then I'll say, well, yeah, it's a good, solid win. The game was hanging in the balance, and again, for the second week in a row, they had what it took to close. That's a good sign. But you know what I'm saying? It's not. Sometimes it's how you get there.
Sure.
It's not necessarily how many you win.
Yeah, it's you know, too many people just look at the stat or look at the final score, and there is.
Yeah, the numbers.
There's a lot of details.
The numbers to me aren't absolute. I talked about this yesterday. Like, if you just look flat out, you know, Andy and I, we joke with each other about the whole win-based formula, and we make fun of each other, and when we want to use that as our thing, and we kind of make light of it. But, like, I was joking around yesterday about the Jets. The Jets are 2-2, same as the Patriots. Jets are 2-0 in the division, one more win than the Patriots. Is there anything similar about the Jets being 2-0? Oh, by the way, they lost to San Francisco and Pittsburgh.
Right.
Two losses that you don't have to hang your head in shame about. Is there anything similar about the Jets being 2-2 as the Patriots?
Right.
Is there any similarities in those two teams
right
now? Are you wrong to say the Jets are not even close to New England?
Right.
I don't think you are.
No.
I think the Jets don't even belong in the same field right now with the Patriots.
And that's where you need
But if you go by numbers and you just look and say 2-2, win-based formula,
right.
You know, how am I going to use this for my base?
He's mocking his own formula.
No, but like I said, we make fun of each other all the time. But, you know, it's just like, you know, I'll do a negative one with the Patriots. You know, the whole 11-5 in 08 with Castle. Yeah, I know that's what they went, but my eyeballs and the whole league told me that 11-5 wasn't all that good that year. You know, and it wasn't good enough to make the playoffs that year.
Right.
So, yeah, I understand. You know, it's points allowed, it's points for, and it's this, it's that, you know. To me, the Patriots played a pretty good defensive game for the most part in Buffalo, but they gave up 450 yards and 28 points.
That's why you have to look at the Wilson-Hart Power Index.
It's not just about points.
It's about the Wilson-Hart Power Index.
It's about everything. You have to look at everything.
The Wilson-Hart Power Index does that for you.
Andy Hart. Wilson-Hart Power Index.
All right, web radio at patriots.com.
I'd like to throw a dart at you.
508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. Dave wants to chime in. He's in Milwaukee.
Oh, one more quick news item.
Yeah.
Our Aaron Hernandez update of the day.
Yeah.
Walked out of the training room, appeared to be coming from the swimming. We have a SwimX, right? The
yes. Thing.
And he had the swim goggles on his head and spandex shorts, nothing else, except a little bandage on the right ankle.
I saw
which
that.
I couldn't really, like.
Was that an electrostim of some sort?
I thought maybe. It's one of those bandages that has the little connection.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to.
So you got a stim bandage on there?
Yeah. Like, because he eats up that we're looking at.
He is
anyway.
Absolutely getting exactly what he
right.
wants
on.
But
walking good
day.
And he's apparently got the swimming goggles on.
Yeah, up on the head, and he was dripping. And
yeah, and Andy, you tweeted out yesterday that he was walking a little bit better than he mm-hmm. did last week or something like that. Now it's gone to he's walking completely without a limp. You know, and all of these. I mean, like John Dennis this morning. I mean, that, I was there. I mean, he's not walking completely normal.
Right.
Now you might argue, like me, Andy, and I always say, I don't know if that's just kind of like the football player's strut, or, you know, but he's not healthy yet.
Right.
Let's just wait.
Let's let
a little
him
bit
practice.
And let him practice before we start saying, yeah, he's fine.
The common response, by the way, when I said he was in swimming goggles and just spandex, was a lot of women tweeting, "Can you take a picture?"
All right. Dave's in Milwaukee. He says, wanted to chime in on a few subjects from yesterday's show. I can't remember agreeing with Andy on more points in a given show than that of yesterday's. First of all,
glad you came to your senses.
Mayo is without a doubt the most overrated player on the Patriots. Yippee, he can make tackles and be the captain on the field for the worst defense in the history of the Patriots organization.
Kraft and Mayo.
That was my point
together.
To you. Where would we be if he didn't line us up right? I don't know, 32nd.
Well, I said that. Well, they didn't lose anything when he was out.
I believe it was Jim Nance who, in the last game when introducing the Patriots defense, said, if there is a big play to be made by the Patriots defense, Mayo will be the one to make it. And I had to stop my hand from punching through the TV set as I thought to myself, well, maybe there's another Gerard Mayo that plays linebacker somewhere. The fact of the matter is Mayo never makes plays. Well, that's just not plain not true. The closest thing to a big play that he has made in his career with the Pats is picking off Rex Grossman last year at the goal line against the Redskins. And I think we know by now that even Manny Ramirez can catch a fly ball thrown by Rex. He's made plays.
Wait, was that – that was the – Tracy White one, where he, is that what we're talking about?
It was a deflection.
Washington
yeah.
last year.
Yeah. He didn't make that play. Just like I wouldn't say, I think his best plays this year have been the hits over the middle. I think I consider those plays. I know they don't show up necessarily as any specific stat, but to me, those were plays he made. He didn't make a play last week when you just haul in a tipped ball. That's a Kyle Arrington, Ellis Hobbs interception.
Secondly, give me Brady over Belichick any day, any time.
Woo!
The point that you brought up is a good one in that we are talking Belichick the coach or Belichick the GM plus.
Yeah, that changes. If you're talking about GM, that changes.
Well, I'm talking about Belichick.
It's a closer argument as Belichick the coach, but when you factor in his managerial decisions and the fact that he has handcrafted a defense that is stupendously awful, the days of mentioning defense and genius in the same sentence when referring to him are long since gone.
And even with all those bad decisions, they go to the Super Bowl.
They go to the Super Bowl.
I knew something.
Because he's such a great coach.
I don't know how they do it.
Or because they have a great quarterback.
Paulie in L.A. says, did you watch A Football Life Cleveland 95? What did you make of it, and did it give you guys any insight into the Belichick you guys see both at the podium or behind the scenes?
Well, he's the same freaking guy at the podium. They showed a loss and a win, and the quotes were, like, identical. You could have pulled them right from the last couple of weeks. The other thing I took from it, I took a few things. First of all, I understand why he lets them do whatever they want, because it always ends up with a
boy,
total ball washing of him. Like, NFL Films makes him out to be the best. A side note was the pads from the mid-90s. I'd forgotten how big they were. I thought that was phenomenal. And it missed the mark in terms, and we were talking about this with Burt Breer in the locker room, it sort of missed the mark in what it was. It was actually about that staff. It wasn't really about the Cleveland asked. Like, they
right.
gave you little hints, but I wanted to see more of the, you know, in the beginning they show a guy coming into the game, the final game, with a hacksaw, and he says, I'm taking my seat home with me.
Well, you
I want to see more of that.
You wonder if, you know, they had been planning this and editing and all this stuff, and then when Modell died, they toned it down a
yeah,
little?
Yeah, I brought that up, too. That's a possibility.
Could
you
be.
Because I wonder if there was more vitriol toward
right.
Modell, and maybe they said, you know, that's in poor taste.
And the only, I mean, the only thing that Bill said with any animosity was, like, right after they found out, quote, you know, we're struggling, the players, I felt bad, and the owner's nowhere to be found, which I kind of took as a whoop.
Yeah.
But, you know, the stories, you know, for all of us who've dealt with a lot of these people, Mangini and Pioli and various guys, Dimitrov, it was just fun to see them talking about, like, Pioli was joking. Mangini moved into the apartment and he wanted to get cable.
He wanted cable.
I mean, we can't even afford food. Yeah, he wants to get cable.
We didn't have heat.
Right. I'm telling him, we just eat it. We stay at the building. We stay there all the time. What do we need cable for? And it was those little things were kind of funny. And you saw what we've always said. There was a big Ozzie Newsome said he was basically looking for a bunch of himself, you know, young guys that.
Little Bills.
Little Bills. And he found a lot of little Bills. And that's what Bill has shown.
Yeah.
Here, even. I mean, with the guys he did, you know, Matt
Josh
Patricia,
McDaniels,
Josh McDaniels,
by the way, is one of those guys.
Yeah.
20 years from now, you could have this, you know, New England 2012
right.
and.
Sure.
Or more accurately, New England 2001.
Yep.
Right.
And that story about Dick Rabine dying and all the different unbelievable dynamics that went on. Josh McDaniels is a coaching assistant.
Right.
Josh McDaniels was Jim Schwartz
and
Eric Mangini.
Andy on the plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Michelle in Stockholm writes in, I've had the man flu, which is a cold. So I thought.
Wait. We can't just skip over that.
She says, I have the man flu, and in parentheses, cold.
Man flu.
So when men get it,
it's the flu.
And when
women
get
it,
it's a cold.
I think that's what she's getting at there. Okay. All right.
So I thought Andy could explain the difference between returning a punt versus returning a kickoff. I tried to explain it during the game last Sunday to someone who's never watched football before.
I got
irate and told him to shut up. And then afterwards, I forgot about it, so I told him I'd ask the pros. Andy once explained the difference between a guard and a tackle very eloquently, and I know this is no match for him. My money is on seeing Hernandez at Wembley. As always, you guys are the best. So the difference between returning a punt and a kickoff.
Well, it's harder to return a punt, first of all. The guys are on you faster. The ball is higher and is coming down at a different angle, so I think it's a harder read. And it's more, it necessitates you beating people more generally. Generally, there's going to be a guy you have to beat, unblocked, coming down, have to beat. And on kickoffs, I think there's a little bit more schematic control of the return. Now, that's not to say you're going to get better returns on kickoffs, but there's more schematic control of setting up a return with the block, you know, R1, R2, who's blocking who. I think it's a slightly more organized chaos than on punts. When you have the two guys coming down, the gunners are coming down. And I think that's the main, the ball issue, the reading, the kick, the ball security, the actual catching the ball when there could be a guy
right.
8 yards away, 7 yards away, 6 yards away. When you catch a kickoff, they're still 20 yards away, 25 yards away
right.
when you catch it at the goal line. That very rarely happens on a punt. So you have to catch it under the fire and make your decision of where you're going and your cuts that much more quickly. On a kickoff, I would say maybe the hardest part is the physical, running full speed into a wave of guys that are running full speed at you. I think it's a little mentally there's a challenge there. And I don't think you see a lot of guys dance.
Right.
You know, the guys are good are the ones that just hit it because
right.
if they split it, they're gone. If
right.
they, but it's hard to say, go run into those seven guys that are running full speed
right.
at you.
I think if I was a novice and I was watching punt returns over an extended period of time, the one thing that I would ask myself is, why does the first guy always miss? Doesn't it always seem like that?
Because the punt returners are good.
Rarely, you know, like the first guy down makes the tackle.
Because it's very difficult to run down full speed and get there first and be under control.
Right.
You can't really do both. And if the guy makes one slight move either direction, you miss.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do. And that's why you're so good, because you're able to look at a ball that's straight up in the air, but you're also seeing the guy coming and deciding, am I going to take a move to the left, to the right, you know, what am I going to do here? That's why it's so hard.
Yeah.
And that's why we see guys out here, what was his name, but Jeremy Ebert, with balls bouncing off his face, and because it's not easy.
Yeah.
Which is why it's also very impressive that a guy like Aaron Hernandez, who doesn't really do it but is now doing it, can do it pretty successfully. You know, I think he missed one like the first, and then he started to kind of get into the groove, and he's catching punts all over the field. So it's far harder to return punts, in my opinion, and in most coaches. I mean, that's when you see Welker. Guys get their chance on kickoffs much sooner than they get their kicks.
Is it fair to say that a punter can do more with the ball than a kicker? In other words, spin?
With their drop and with the angle of the punt, they can control it better. because it's not as, you know, if a kicker is trying to angle a kick and it goes out of bounds, that's really bad.
Yeah.
If a punter goes out of bounds, it's not as, especially
and
if it goes.
It could be good if they do it
no
right.
penalty.
Right.
I mean, regardless,
so,
there's no penalty.
It's very difficult to do more in terms of the angles and things. You know, the main goal is to sort of kick it through the end zone.
And why do you think that they do penalize the kickoff out of bounds but not a punt?
Because.
I don't know. It's a good question. I don't have one. I don't have an answer. Do you?
Don't you think it'd be more exciting if they actually did the opposite and penalized punts out of bounds?
Well, I would say it's harder.
It's a good question.
It is a good question. I'm trying
to. No, 10 yards.
Yeah.
We're going to add 10 yards from the spot to.
From where it went out of bounds.
From where it went out of bounds.
Well, I'm thinking on kickoffs, theoretically, kickers, if they could kick it wherever they wanted. I mean, it's on a tee. It's literally on a tee for them. And
right.
these are guys that can split a 10-yard upright. So it's harder to kick it. So maybe they're saying you can take your chance trying to angle it, but when you shank it off your foot, you're taking that. You know what I mean? It's
yeah,
maybe.
But I don't.
But
don't
you
have
think
a real
it's easier
answer.
To angle a punt than it is a kickoff?
I don't personally think
I
so.
I do.
Really?
No.
Really?
I think if you allowed them to kick it out of bounds, you would see kickers who were good, like Gostkowski, I think you'd see him drive it out of bounds at like the five.
Right.
I think he would get good at it.
But, I mean, I think punters are excellent at it.
See, I think there's a pretty big variance with punters in terms of 20 yards either direction.
You might be right about the reason, though, because, you know,
I'm just
go ahead and try to kick it out
here,
of bounds, but you run the risk of shanking it 20
right.
yards short of where you wanted to kick it out of bounds.
Right.
And that happens every
Whereas
once
I
a
do
while.
Think if you gave Gostkowski, if it was the rule and he worked on it for a year or whatever, I think you would see kickers driving it out of bounds at like the five and teams starting at the five with a lot of frequency.
Jeez, I think that's pretty hard to be able to kick it that distance. And
oh, I don't.
No?
Not for these guys. I mean, they can already kick it 65 yards to split an upright.
Yeah, but that's okay.
And this is easier. It's literally on a tee. There's no snap and hold, and
yep.
it's not on the grass. It's teed up however they want it. They can put it at whatever angle they want. They can approach it however they want. I think they would get really good at it.
Okay.
Andy used to kick, you know.
Sure.
I wasn't very good at it. Some would go deep, and some would spin about 10 yards. I was terrible.
I know. I love high school kicking. It's just so different than, you
and,
know.
Oh, yeah, because it's not somebody who
nobody
can really
can kick.
Right. It's
right.
very rare.
Yeah.
And they used to play that. I just almost swore a noise, like the band on the kickoff would play something and then go, and I could literally, like, you know how they say you don't hear anything when you're playing? That I could hear on the kickoff.
Right.
And I'm like, can you stop? I shanked it. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean.
And he's like, you effing kidding me?
Seriously, that's what I was thinking. Why don't you try a band bleep?
Even on my kid's Pop Warner team when he was younger, it's like all of a sudden he started kicking, you know, and I never could go to the games, but my wife said, oh, he's kicking off. I'm like, really? Because no one could kick the ball.
No one can kick. So they take the skill players and they generally say, you guys try. Okay, you three are the best. Try again.
Right,
okay,
right.
You're kicking.
Right.
That's exactly how every team I was ever on, it wasn't just the skill players. Every player
the
on
good
the team,
ones are if a soccer
literally.
Player for some reason comes and plays.
Right.
Yeah, and that happens
he
a lot.
He automatically can
right.
kick better.
some of the bigger high school teams now, they have they'll have that. They'll have a kid who plays soccer and he'll double as a kicker because he can kick the ball a little bit. But what Andy described, literally, we'd have like 25 kids. Okay, you know, punt the ball 10 times, kick off a tee 10 times,
right?
And you know, you
just
generally,
whittle it down. And
generally, you'd find a guy that could do it, you know. And we had one kid on our team that I played with, actually through Pop Warner all the way. He was a pretty good kicker, but that's a rarity.
I was a straight on kicker. They actually had like a shoe, a flat fronted shoe, but I couldn't wear it because it was too big. It was like a size 13, and I wore a size 11.
Jimmy Parati was the kid. He could kick the ball. He was a good punter and a good kicker, and that was very rare, especially at that time.
Huge upset, Barnstable over Everett.
Absolutely. Kudos to Barnstable, by the way. Oh. Hats off. 28-game winning streak for my boys snapped.
Tufts has a streak.
Yeah, it's the other way.
16-game losing streak.
13-7 in overtime. A double overtime, actually.
Wow.
Oh, the refs lost control of the game? They weren't able to sway it for Everett like they usually do?
No, Barnstable won fair and square, Andy.
Chris is a guy in Hertfordshire in the UK.
Refs.
I don't know if it's Chris Guy or Chris is a guy. But anyway, he says, hey, guys, even Eric, I've been a Patriots fan since 1985 and been listening to the show since November 2005. when you first started the podcast. Actually, we were go way before that.
Was it a podcast, though? When did iPods come? They weren't around much before that.
Yeah.
Podcast came after pod.
That's true. I'd like to thank you all for the years of analysis, and humor you've given. Nowadays, you can pretty much get Patriots news on demand from a variety of sources, but no one supplies it the way you guys do. You truly are a godsend for fans outside the U.S., and you make being a long-distance fan feel part of the Patriots community. The main reason I love the show is when you go off topic. The amount of times I've been out and about and had strange looks while walking with my headphones, laughing out loud at Fred's man grooming, the push-up contest, Fred's massage at 16 with no happy ending, Fred stating he'd like to take all of the water off the earth just to see what it looks like, Brett Favre's junk, Gino's unit, foul smells on the plane while Fred tries to write his edit letter, Eric's singing of the national anthem, Andy's bowel movements, and Paul's hatred of the Green Bay fans and female shoppers. I also love the energy Anthony brings to the show, especially after a defeat, carrying on the fine tradition of Craig in South Carolina. Okay, the Bill Walshing is over.
Real quick here.
Well, he's not done.
Well, let me just a little bit of news. Okay. Well, I think it's news anyway. Chandler Jones was named AFC Defensive Rookie of the Month.
Yeah, there's news at about 9:30.
Everybody know that?
Yeah, I tweeted that out.
Okay, but did anybody say that on the show?
No.
Sometimes I just tune out.
I just figured it was such old news.
Which is why I asked you guys.
I mean, that is pretty cool. AFC Defensive Player of the Month. That's rookie defensive player, right?
Correct.
Right.
But not AFC, I don't believe, is it?
I thought it was.
I thought it was NFL Rookie of the Month.
It says AFC, but it doesn't mean it's right.
Oh. Anyway.
It's from the jet stream.
Could you also please give a shout-out to PFWInProgress.com?
Yes.
The PFW in Progress fan site. James from Wales does a great job in running it.
Indeed.
And would be great to see some more of the PFW listeners on there. You could post in the forum, and there's a listener map to see how wide Patriots Nation spreads. It's PFWInProgress.com.
More fans should go there.
Yep.
They should put their pin in the map for me, say I'm their favorite, and then they should go to the chat room and make fun of Eric.
I've just signed up for the online edition of the newspaper as a way of thanking you guys for the great entertainment you've given me in the last 7 years. I look forward to meeting Fred and Eric in London. I had the pleasure of meeting Paul and Fred in the Sports Cafe in 2009. Sorry about the warm beers, Paul.
How come he didn't come
see me?
They
were warm. Because you were behind the velvet ropes.
That's one thing I'm going to have to make sure. Just tell them to keep my beers on ice. Ahead of time.
Why don't you just bring a cooler or something?
Actually, the beers there were pretty cold. You might have just got a warm batch, Paul, because of...
I remember having a cooler.
They might have just
restocked.
They were
warm that night. A lot of them were warm.
Yeah, because...
Well, they were probably going out faster than they could bring them in.
My boy Jeff Howe, on that topic of the Rookie of the Month. Chandler Jones and Robert Griffin III with the season's first NFL Defensive Rookies of the Month. Maybe a trivia question someday. Robert Griffin III's your quarterback.
That's why they call him the...
How'd you be Defensive Rookie of the Month as a quarterback, Fred? I don't know if you caught that.
I don't know if it was Howe's mistake or...
He clearly meant they were the first two rookies of the month.
I question that higher. 508-298...
It was NFL.
0398.
So the urine stream was also wrong.
Lombardi Larry writes in, I almost wish the NFL would show some mercy and stop the Jets and Texans game this week. As Mike Francesa says, it's a disaster. Remember those wildlife documentaries where the lion pounces on the injured gazelle and drags it off to the brush, followed by the sounds of crunching bones? This is what's coming. I used to say F the Jets, but I think F the Giants or F the Ravens is more appropriate these days. The AFC East looks like it's going to be playtime for the Patriots for another year or two. In regards to the discussion this week has been about how Gronk looks different or moves different with his hip pain, I feel like asking the question, isn't using Gronk to block so often like using a Rolls-Royce in a demolition derby? I don't want to see Hernandez return and then Gronk go out.
No, because it's part of his game.
Yeah. That's,
I mean, that's part why of why he's so special.
Yeah.
It's part of why he was special coming out of college, because he was a true tight end, a throwback who could block and catch. There are a lot more of the just catch types than there are guys like him who can actually do both and block. We should add that Logan Mankins added a calf injury to the hip injury when he returned to practice on a limited basis yesterday. And he was not, I didn't see him in the locker room today.
No, I actually was looking for him, and I didn't see him.
Is he starting to be injury prone, this guy?
Well, I mean, it's just he was so fortunate for so long to not even miss a single practice rep. Chances are it's going to go the other way at some point. It's a physical sport like Brady. I mean, he fights through stuff, but when you go that long, there's a reason those streaks are so rare that Peyton and Favre had, because it's hard to stay healthy that long in this sport.
Yeah, I agree, and it's one of those things. It's sometimes you got to be careful when you talk about how tough a guy is in terms of how many, you know, he never missed a practice. And listen, no one's saying that Logan Mankins isn't tough, or that Peyton Manning and Tom
Certainly
Brady,
not.
You know, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady were tough to play that many games in a row, but there's an element of really good fortune. You get an injury that you can't play with, and I'm sorry, I don't care how tough you are, you can't play.
By the way, the guy who can't play now played through the ACL, so it's an injury. I mean, he's definitely injured. He's not hurt.
Joe in Michigan, hey guys, it's Thursday, so I figured I'd send in a prediction for this week's game against the Broncos. First, though, I have a question regarding Shane Vereen. I know we haven't seen much from him, but neither has any other team. The point I'm making is that it seems like the best performances by the Patriots running backs have seemingly came in their first real opportunities. Ridley had his best game in the opener after making small appearances last year, and Bolden had his best performance out of nowhere this past Sunday. Is it reasonable to think Vereen will have a similar experience anytime soon, or is he this year's Taylor Price? Anyway, my prediction for this week is Patriots 38, Broncos 28. It's close until the end, which makes the Patriots play a full 60 minutes. They finally pull away with a touchdown in the last 2 minutes to make it a 10-point game. Hope to hear your guys' thoughts.
I think that's very feasible. My image of last year is
30-20. Yeah, I'm thinking of that kind of a game.
Somewhere in there. Now, if they get a couple picks like they did in Atlanta, I mean, the Broncos threw in Atlanta, then that'll swing it a little bit. But otherwise, I think you could see a little bit of a shootout here with Manning and Brady going at it. I think maybe I'm blinded because, you know, I thought Taylor Price was going to have one of those games too, and he never did. And this is starting to feel like that. I joked about it 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. But I still think Shane Vereen is talented enough where he's going to have a big game or more than big games.
Yep. I still like what I see.
That said, he's got to be out there to do that,
yeah,
active.
And it's hard, you know, like the whole, like, the first flash, like, what do we consider in the first, you know, like Ridley, this is, you know, a year and a month that he's played. I mean, like, you can make the argument the first time he got extended carries last year, he flashed.
Yeah.
Against Oakland.
Right.
Remember? You know, Woodhead kind of did that. When he first came here, he had a huge game.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think it was against Buffalo.
Remember what he did to the Jets that first game?
In that 38-30 game. Yeah. Actually, no, I don't remember that. I remember Buffalo here. He was, like, all over the place. In Baltimore, he had a big game against Baltimore,
You don't
too.
Remember all the plays he made against the Jets the first time the Patriots played him? Right after we got him.
And I don't remember playing
the Jets
right after.
And everybody was teasing Rex Ryan because he let him go.
Yeah, I didn't remember playing the Jets. I remember playing Buffalo right after we got him. Okay. Buffalo and Baltimore.
I definitely remember the Buffalo one.
He had like two touchdowns. Like one of them was like a 25 or 30-yard touchdown run.
Yeah.
Phil in Nova Scotia, we have all known for years that Paul hates women. Patriots fans, Central Vacuum Systems, good movies, good music, sobriety, and especially Wes Welker. Now we have proof that he hates Tom Brady.
What's the Central Vacuum System? I don't.
You don't like
one.
Central Vacuum Systems?
I've never seen one. I don't have one.
I'm dubious of those. I don't think I've ever discussed. No, I don't believe I've ever discussed it on this show. But like, what happens when it clogs in your wall?
Right.
That seems. Because I've been known to accidentally suck things up, and then you have to like, open the thing and pull it out, you know, like a kid's sock or a glove or something in there.
Too lazy to just move it. You like try to push it
out
of the
way. Right, and it goes
all
up.
Of a sudden,
well, what happens when that's like buried in your wall somewhere? What do you do?
Good point.
Yesterday, Paul said he would choose to keep Brady over Belichick if he could get Andy Reid as a coach. My God, he wants to get Brady killed. Why not bring in Mike Martz as the offensive coordinator while you're at it, Paul? You are such an angry, angry man.
You take it to a bad level like that. My point was, if as long as I have a good coach, I think Andy Reid's a good coach. You know, I think he's won a lot of games. I think he's a pretty good coach. Do you?
So Brady could
not
only
agree?
Succeed with a good coach?
No, I don't want him. I don't think he could succeed with a bad one. Could succeed with a bad one is my point.
Oh.
I don't think there's a lot of guys that can just. I think coaching is very important in the NFL. That's why I took Belichick over Brady. Not because I don't like Brady, as the emailer says. That's kind of silly.
Just likes Mallet better.
What are you doing over there, Andy?
I don't know.
You
I just feel like I got a splinter.
Your hand down your pants?
I feel like I got a splinter.
Do you not
in my
agree
pocket
with that, Fred? Because
underwear?
You said Belichick yesterday, too. Does that mean you hate Brady?
No.
Okay. I just think coaching is really If you don't have a good coach in the NFL,
that's true.
I think you're in trouble.
It can cost you games.
Certainly, Andy's counter here is accurate as well. If you don't have a good quarterback in the NFL, you're in trouble. I don't care how good you are as a coach. You're going to be in trouble.
Paul writes in, the Patriots gave up
Sucks
a lot of yards.
Fire Bobby Valentine. Never saw that one coming.
Oh, they're announcing it now?
According to ESPN.
And I won't be surprised if they announce who they choose over him really quickly, too, because I got a feeling they had that lined up. The Patriots gave up a lot of yards against the Bills. This concerns me facing Manning Sunday, especially if he gets the hurry-up offense working. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, Manning is certainly much more of a concern than Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I think they're going to sack him more than two times.
Could be. They might.
Over or under sack, too. Over under.
Huh? I'll say under.
You say
push.
Under. Push?
But it's good news if they sack him more than two times, certainly for this front. I'll be interested to see if they do the moving around thing a little bit this week with Jones and Ninkovich and Cunningham, and if the Cunningham reps kind of continue to creep up.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a regular game, kind of like the way I'm thinking, and it goes back and forth, I don't think they'll have a lot of pressure on them. Now, if they jump out to like a 28-point lead, I could see your thing happening, Fred. I think Manning could be in trouble throwing the ball every down.
Alex from Philly, great week if you're a Pats fan. Dolphins lose. We blew out the Bills at their house. The Jets have imploded. And the best part of all is that by the time we play the Jets, Tim Tebow will be the starting quarterback. Can't get any better than this. Most Pats fans think that we are going to run through Denver. But I'm still scared of Peyton Manning against this secondary. Arm strength issues or not, we need to get pressure on Manning or he will pick us apart. Quick question. Will this be the biggest pass rush test the O-line has seen so far? And how do you think the O-line will hold up against Von Miller and company?
It's a good test. I don't know if it's the biggest.
I mean,
I'm bad at judging these lately. I thought Buffalo would be a test up front.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Miller and Doomerville are better than Anderson and Williams, but because I don't think anything of Mark Anderson, as people who listen to this show know from last year. I thought Williams would show up. I was, you know, Andy's, your whole eyeball in-person test. Not sure if we have seen much of Mario Williams, maybe once.
Mm-hmm.
He was completely let's put it this way. Sean Merriman in person was a lot more impressive than Mario Williams was last week.
Do we have time for a 10-second rant?
10-second rant by Andy Hart.
Does this have to do with Tebow?
No.
Oh.
No, it has to do with advertising on television for horror movies.
Yeah.
And in a country where, God forbid, anyone sees a nipple.
Yep.
Which, you know, everyone's seen. They were born. Some people sucked on them when they were babies. You've seen a nipple. It's not going to kill you. Your mother has nipples. Your sister has nipples. There's been nipples everywhere. But in a country.
You have nipples.
I have nipples. They don't actually.
I have nipples, Greg.
Eat milk. But.
And when you talk about Bo Jackson, they stick out.
Yes. But in a country where we can't have that, you can turn on TV in the middle of the day, you're watching SportsCenter or 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, and these horror commercials are troubling to me. It's mind my 5-year-old son.
It's not even the horror. You ever see the CSI commercials during
football? Yes, those too.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get the barometer for what
why
can.
Why is the violence okay, but the nipple not?
But God forbid my son see a nipple.
Yeah.
And it bothers me because I'll be watching TV and I don't want to have to deal with nightmares because like these Silent Hills and these crazy ass movies.
More nipples, less blood.
Basically. Okay. Yes. And if my son sees a nipple, I guarantee you he will not have a nightmare. But he gets scared of these things.
He might have a dream.
He might, and I'll be happy for him.
Right.
Because he's always at attention these days.
Oh,
he walks around and it's like.
Oh, for God's sake.
Even my wife goes, is that normal? Should that always be like that?
Oh, boy.
And I mean, it's our first boy child. I don't know the answer. Is it normal?
I don't know.
Paul?
No, neither one of mine are necessarily standing at attention. On a regular basis.
It is. And he'll go, Daddy, only on PFW it's up again.
Only on PFW. But, okay, so that's a good rant. Very good.
I agree with that rant, by the way. PFW in Progress endorses Andy Hart's rant.
But the emailer also brought up Tim Tebow in the Jets and the possibility of him starting by the time the Patriots
play.
Good
for the Patriots.
That's absolutely a possibility.
There's a rumor out there
that
the owner is pushing for Tebow. Have you heard that?
No, but the rumor was that the owner brought Tebow to New York. That was
that was talked about yesterday.
Just read it this morning. There's a rumor that he's pushing for
that
Tebow.
And I'm sure behind the scenes he's pushing for Tebow.
I
think there's a good
me?
Chance that he could play against the Patriots. I mean, their quarterback.
It's why
is
I continue to say,
of his passes.
As impressive as what the Patriots do in the AFC East is, it's not really that impressive. The competition is circus after circus after circus. You got that guy in Miami. You know, oh, we should go see that Broadway play. So, Sperano, by the way, we're going to leave early and screw up your practice week because I want him to see a play. And you got this guy trading for Tebow and wanting to play Tebow. You got Ralph Wilson asleep at the wheel. I mean, yes, the Patriots are great and consistent and dominate the East, but the competition is piss poor. Organizationally.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline.
I usually get yelled at.
Salt is in Orlando, Florida. Hey, Salt, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing today?
Great.
Good. Where's Pepper?
Working hard.
Okay,
good.
Somebody's got to support you.
That's right. So I want to talk about, real quick, Stephen Gostkowski.
Yep.
I'm not here to, like, pounce on him for missing two field goals or missing a field goal like two games ago or whatever. I don't know, maybe it's because we had Adam Vinatieri so long, but when he comes on the field, it seems like a almost Chad Ochocinco-like where it's an event. Like, is he going to make this kick or not? And he always pulls them. I don't know, maybe we were just spoiled with Adam Vinatieri, but I never really was scared that he would miss a routine field goal until he missed it. And then I was like, well, you know, he makes the big one, so he's going to miss one every once in a while. Do you guys feel the same way, or?
I don't feel as good about Gostkowski as Vinatieri, but I don't, when he takes the field, say, here's another one he's going to miss.
I never think he's going to miss, I'll be honest with you.
And there's a difference, because Vinatieri, in the legend here, that started in 01, and you already had the confidence based on that season. So moving forward, that was always in the back of your mind when you thought of him. Gostkowski's never had that opportunity.
Right.
He's never been able to make the big one to win the Super
Bowl.
That's
the only reason that I felt better with Adam is because I knew Adam could do it with the game on the line. And Stephen has never really had the chances that he missed. The one he missed against Arizona is a very, very small sample.
Right.
He's never really had those kicks. Adam had a few, and he made them. He made every one of them.
And once you make one of those, I mean,
it's your reputation.
And it becomes easier because how bigger than a kick can it get then? Well, one.
But it's like Brady. Because
you can't get
closed out three Super Bowls, that's his legend, as opposed to, as No Sox likes to say, last nine playoff games, when he wasn't closing out playoff games and people started to whisper. Think of how different that would have been had he not had the resume.
And you've heard some people, you know, every once in a while they'll write in or call in and say, you know, I don't have that same faith in Tom at the end of the games. He's not doing this. He's not doing that. Can you imagine if he didn't have the track record, what it would be like?
And that's what Gostkowski has.
Doesn't have the track record of the game-winning kick. I'm with Andy. When he goes on the field, I think he's going to make it. He's made more. I mean,
because, I don't know, ever since his rookie year, he missed some easy ones, it seemed to me. So
but he really hasn't, though. If you look, he's got like 85% for his career.
Good. And on a game, I don't know if it was either the Ravens game or the Cardinals game, but they were talking about he had like the best percentage in Patriots history.
Well, in that Cardinals game, the two he made before the one, those were 50-plus kicks.
Yeah.
And he made them look pretty easy. So, like, he comes out for the 42-yard.
And
you figure, okay, it's a layup. And maybe he was thinking the same thing, and he just – you know, didn't hit it right.
But I just don't think there's a track record of him missing easy ones.
Right.
Like, I don't think he misses any of them in general until right now. He's in a slump.
Let you guys go, but I got one quick question regarding kickers and kicking percentage. Like, quarterbacks, we say a good quarterback will throw 70% or more. So what do you think a good kicker kicks? And I'll let you guys go.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
I'm just going to let you know right now, entering this season, he was 54 for 61. In his career, that's 88.5%.
What does that compare? How do the better kickers compare?
Andy mentioned this yesterday.
Yeah.
Depending on who your kicker is, he's number one in the league in percentage.
Okay. Okay.
Seriously, there's nobody that's any better than that. I'm telling you, there's nobody. I mean, there might be someone who's 89.1 instead of 88.5, but there's no one that's 100%.
Right.
And there's no one even over 90.
Yeah, there might be 100% if he's a rookie.
You know...
Nick Powell.
You know, I'm just... Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second.
That didn't sound like a lot of kicks.
No, that was no. I misread the column. Let me repeat this. Let me correct myself. I made a mistake. I looked at the wrong thing. I want to do this over again. He's 141 of 167, 85%, which is why the number that stuck in my head was 85. I thought 88.5 was higher than I had remembered. I read the wrong column. 141 for 167. For his career, 84.4%.
So and what's the 85%. Most misses in a season?
Most misses in a
worst
season?
Worst season.
Six. He was 20 for 26 as a rookie.
Yeah, that's not a great number.
21 for 24, 36 for 40, 26 for 31, 10 for 13 in the year that he got hurt.
Right.
28 for 33. So he's on pace right now for his career high. But we all know how that goes. Like, Brady was on pace for a career high in interceptions
and he stopped
last year, and he stopped throwing them. And I'm sure he's going to stop missing them, too.
Yeah.
Do you what's your take on this, Fred? You're kind of a super fan, roll with the – what do you got here?
On Gostkowski?
Yeah.
I'm not worried.
I'm not either.
Yeah.
And I'm usually the pessimist. Yeah. And I just think he's good. Now, you can point to he hasn't had the game-winning kick in the big moment or whatever, but – to me, he's good. And I think all – this is what you deal with in the NFL now, with kickers. They now, all go through slumps.
Now, do we look at the holder-snapper situation? Because let's face it, when Vinatieri was here, he might have had the best long snapper in the history of football. Right? I mean, the guy never missed.
I don't know.
He was unbelievable.
I struggle with that because yeah. I'm pretty sure he's never been to a Pro Bowl.
Well, that and can you point to a bad snap that led to a missed field goal?
Well, I mean, we don't know. Like,
they
yeah,
look good.
Yeah, you do.
The snap
you
is down.
Watch.
The hold, the angle, everything looks good.
We
certainly
we
on
think
the,
it looks good. We don't know though.
And he
but
said,
you can see
I mean,
the snap.
Take I don't know whether to take him at his word or not. He said nothing on film.
Well, he should never say that.
I know, but I'm just saying. I asked the question.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to.
Sean Springs would have.
Listen, the hold. The hold is open for interpretation. The snap isn't. The snap either hits the holder in the hands or it doesn't. And you can look at that and say, oh, that was a little inside or a little high. You know, maybe that threw some timing off. There hasn't been that. And
yeah.
Aiken has been a little bit erratic this summer,
yep.
But I haven't seen it in the game yet.
I have not either. And the holds look fine. I think he's just missed. It happens. Okay. You can't get to an 85 percentile that's really good without missing 15 out of every 100 kicks. Like, that's the way the math works. You have to miss 15 because if you were yeah. at 95, you'd be record-breaking best ever. You know what I mean? So 15
thing,
out of 100, he has to miss.
Yeah, the only
it's
thing
the,
that I could
works.
Say in a negative towards Steven is that, and it's not his fault, he just hasn't had a lot of opportunity with games on the line. He hasn't had
right.
a lot of kicks like he had in week two against Arizona. Positive or negative, he doesn't have a lot of those in his resume. And he's been around a while. It's odd. You know, most teams, you know, a lot of these games come down to field goals. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots haven't had more games. That shows you how good they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they haven't had a lot of games that have been gone down to Gostkowski having to make, you know, a sizable field goal.
And I also think he's good in this era because, A, the percentages seem like they're going up because everybody who's now kicking is the best percentage ever. But I also think it's getting harder because I think coaches try more long field goals. I think it used to be like a 50-yard field goal was, wow, a 50-yard field goal. As you said, he hit a 50 and a 52 or whatever before.
Yeah.
They now kick 50-yarders. You know, 45 to 55 is now a normal field goal range.
I actually looked at it the other night, the Giants game, the Giants-Eagles game. I think Lawrence Hines choked at the end of the game. He had a 54-yard field goal, not because he missed it. Came up short.
Right.
It was right down the middle, and it was about a yard short.
Before I think 15 years ago, you'd go,
it was a 54-yard field goal.
What do you expect?
It just
right.
shows you how, and maybe that's unfair of me. I'm asking too much. But I thought it was a choke partly because they called the timeout, so he had kicked one before that, and he drilled it into the net wide. I don't call that a choke. From 54 yards, if you're wide left, hey, it's a long kick. It's
like
hard.
A short putt.
Yeah, well, to use the golf analogy, if you have a 20-foot putt that you have to make or you lose the tournament, if you miss it left or right, okay. If you leave it short, you choked.
Right.
You can't leave that field goal short.
Right.
You obviously have the leg to get it there because you just did.
Right. Let's see. Let's go to the phones again. Nick is in San Diego. Hey, Nick.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
What's obsolete this week?
What's obsolete this week? Oh, man. Hold on. All right, guys. So I don't mean to be presumptuous or entitled here, but if you guys don't mind, I'd like to bring up Denver, you know, the game that we have coming up on Sunday.
Sure, you pompous ass.
Yeah, you pompous ass. Indy freaking hard. Anyway.
Did you miss the first hour of the show?
Ooh, that's Paul freaking Perillo.
I did. I was actually in class, like a good student. You wouldn't know about that, Paul, because you're too busy drinking and skipping classes and cheating on exams. But that's what I do. I attend.
Correct. I have no class.
All right. Not anymore, at least. Anyway, so I'm kind of...
You missed my Rodney Dangerfield joke.
What are you guys more worried about? Or were you worried about? Were you more worried about going to the Baltimore game or going to this game? Which ones brought more opposition to you?
Baltimore.
So do you guys think this one was a layup then, or what do you think?
No. I don't think it's a layup. I thought they were going to lose to Baltimore.
But
I think, just to recap
the first hour of the show, I think we all think it's going to be a pretty high-scoring game, something in the mold of 30-something Patriots, 20-something Broncos, and then a couple plays could change that in either direction.
I don't know. I mean, Peyton Manning on the road this season has been crap.
He's played one road game.
And apparently you watched the first quarter of
right.
it.
Yeah, well, either way, I mean, you look at his numbers for home and away, you take away his home
game.
It's
too early to make those judgments.
Yeah, and he's only thrown three interceptions in a quarter on the road.
Yeah, I mean, if he has a first quarter like he did in Atlanta, you're right. The Patriots will roll, and this game won't even be worth discussing.
Yeah, well, I'm not talking about quarters. I'm talking about over the quarter.
The last three quarters of that game, he was excellent. The first quarter, he threw three picks, cost his team the game.
Yeah, and who did they lose to again on the road?
Atlanta.
The 4-0 Falcons.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
They've also lost to the 4-0 Texans.
27-21, by the way, despite throwing three picks
in the first quarter. I would love to belittle Peyton Manning at this point. Can't do it. You know?
And I'm not sitting here telling you that, you know, hide the women and children. Peyton Manning's going to throw for 500 yards on Sunday, and there's no way we... No, I think that the Denver offense is containable. I don't think they've lit it up, but... To sit there and dismiss Peyton Manning on the road because he had a bad road game the first game of the year that he played, I don't know. I think we're missing. I mean, that's a little bit too much, though, Nick? Seriously?
It's the comparison to Baltimore, is what I'm saying. If we were playing Baltimore at their place or playing Denver at their place, I would much rather play Baltimore at their place. I think Denver's incredible at home. On the road, it's the exact opposite. I'd rather play Denver at our home and have Baltimore come to our home, if that makes any sense. I consider them a less of a challenge.
It does make sense to me. I understand what you're saying, but what are you basing your Denver observation on? They've played one road game. I mean, you have to say this is a different team.
That's what I'm basing it off.
Okay, all right. Well, like I said, if he throws three picks in the first quarter on Sunday, I think the Patriots are going to be looking pretty good. I agree.
And over Peyton Manning's career, obviously he does worse on the road. I mean, just about any quarterback does, but he usually can't get it done on the road. That's the way I see it.
Yeah, see, that's the part I don't agree with.
Secondary. Absolutely can tear apart our secondary, but he doesn't put the fear of God in me, at least not like Baltimore did.
Okay.
All right,
later. All right, Nick. Thanks a lot. No, look, even if Baltimore played in Gillette, I would still be more afraid.
I would fear Baltimore more in Gillette than I would Denver, no question.
Right. All right. Where did Kevin go? He's going. He had to go get drinks.
Yeah, I mean, I understand Nick's point. I mean, the Patriots have had, traditionally, they've had Indy's number when Manning was there, but I think he sort of put that to bed. I don't know. What's he like? Is he 6-2 or 5-2 or something like that in his last seven games against the Patriots? A couple of those wins were here after he had never been able to win here. I think that is he a different guy outside the dome that he was in Indy? Yeah, absolutely. I think he benefits from throwing inside as opposed to being out here. And oh, by the way, the weather could be a factor on Sunday based on some of the preliminary weather reports. Could be some rain, could be some wind. It's going to be a little colder. Yeah,
it started at 30% chance, then it was 50% chance. I don't know what it is.
Unseasonably
now.
Cold, too,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So,
that could be another factor. You know, he's having problems throwing right? the ball, and maybe if he gets some wind and he can't drive it through the wind.
This injury could be affected by weather, by cold
oh,
weather.
Oh, you're talking about physically, though.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the actual throw.
Yeah.
If he's having problems with his arm strength and now you get a little wind,
right.
It makes it harder to drive it through the wind.
Well, that's
and let's face it,
yeah.
There is no better guy in bad weather than Tom Brady. I mean, I think he's without peer in that regard.
All right. Food is here, so give us a chance to eat a little bit, listen to our commercials, and take care of our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Sullivan Tire and Auto Repair is teaming up with Bridgestone Tires for an offer that's going to make you and your family very excited. Now through September 30th, when you buy four select Bridgestone Tires at Sullivan Tire, you could receive a $70 American Express gift card or your very own Wii gaming system the whole family will love. See SullivanTire.com. Offer valid August 27th through September 30th, 2012. Mail-in claim form required. Cards issued by American Express Prepaid Card Management Corporation. Wii systems given away on behalf of Bridgestone America. Nintendo is not affiliated with this promotion. Certain limitations apply.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. An exciting Patriots season is here, and Ace Ticket is proud to be the official fan travel partner of the New England Patriots. Ace Ticket is your trusted source. We have the best seats at the lowest prices for all your favorite Boston teams. Ace Ticket is now selling Celtics and Bruins tickets to all games with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or right across the street from Boston Garden. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My name is Terry, and not too long ago, I couldn't tell a first down from a touchdown, a flea flicker from a flea circus. But then I got NFL Mobile from Verizon. I can watch every Thursday, Sunday, and Monday night NFL game live, right on my smartphone.
Nice call on the game yesterday, Terry.
I told you they couldn't stop the run. Plus, with access to NFL Network, I can watch highlights whenever I want.
Huge fantasy week. How did you know to start Mayo?
Woman's intuition, I guess. And with NFL Red Zone, I won't miss a touchdown on Sunday afternoons.
Up top, T-Mac.
You know it.
Offense is looking good, huh, Terry?
Good? They've been lethal in the Red Zone, Tim. Lethal. Rookie.
With NFL Mobile on Verizon 4G LTE, no one will know the game better than you. Call *NFL to get it now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data rates may apply. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Remember, don't call or text while driving.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Verizon Fios is America's fastest internet. How fast is that? Faster than Patriots linebacker Gerard Mayo can take down a quarterback, a running back, tight end, or an offensive lineman who just got in the way. In fact, Verizon Fios internet is more than twice as fast as anything you've ever seen. And that means Patriots scores, videos, highlights, and more right when you want them. Fios is built to support multiple devices simultaneously with a constant stream of your favorite Patriots content. And that means you get Gerard Mayo's sacks at Gerard Mayo's speed.
Now that's fast.
Welcome to a world of football where and when you want it. Welcome to Life on Fios, proud sponsor of the New England Patriots. Fios available in select areas. Internet speeds up to 300 down and 65 up megabits per second available.
This is Rob Gronkowski. I get lots of mail from fans asking me how they can be more like me, Gronk. It's easy. First, just head down to Dunkin' Donuts and pick up a freshly made bakery sandwich. Second, get a sweet nickname. Third, bench press 225 pounds 28 times. That's it. You're just like me, Gronk. Now hurry into Dunkin' Donuts and grab a bakery sandwich today. Gronk runs on Dunkin'.
Price and participation may vary. New England Patriots and Patriots and related logos are trademarks of New England Patriots, LLC.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows, and a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking and there's this weather coming and it's like dark clouds and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes, and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so this cafeteria turns into a hotel. And now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're going to work out. So we get in the elevator, and it's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino. And Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti. And his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello.
And it was like,
hello.
It was like a weird deformity, like that no one ever knew about, but there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
Thanks, babe.
It was attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either.
All right, back here in PFW. That has to be one of the best story times.
Yeah, and can I ask a question that I don't think I really got clear the first time, the original?
Yeah.
Like, when you said you had a dream about his unit.
I didn't say I had a dream about his unit.
Well,
it's part of the dream.
No, yeah. Actually, you're the one who said he had a dream about his unit.
But, like, was it you knew it was his unit and was on his hip, or did you actually see, like, a schlong?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I can honestly say I don't think I've ever had a dream about a schlong.
Yeah, I mean, I remember.
Other than my own, and it's, you know, and even then, I don't think I actually had a visual. You know your schlong is there, but, like,
I mean.
So
I,
you saw his.
Well, it was like, you know, I don't know how detailed it was, but I knew what it was when I saw it. Yeah.
That's troubling.
You know, it was like, well, it was. I mean, I remember.
For
being,
you and him.
I was in the elevator and saying, whoa, you know. That's weird.
Put your junk away, Gino.
Poor Gino. Grace.
Poor Gino. He's living the high life now.
Did you see he's got the mustache? He's
yes.
Rocking the mustache.
I don't care
everything.
For it.
Who was that? Where have you seen him?
That was at
Troy Brown's thing.
Oh, I missed him.
Yeah, he's like Don Juan with the mustache. And
Don Juan.
I love Gino.
We should get him on the show.
Sure.
And play that.
No.
No. Again, it's another one of our things. Millions of people have heard that.
True.
But God forbid.
Well, they even had him tape. Really, Fred? My hip? Just say that. Why? Just say it.
And you know, like, if you were doing that and someone just said, say, really, my hip? No, just say it. Don't worry about it. The last thing in your mind will be, this man had a dream about your penis on your hip.
Right.
Like, that's the furthest thing you could ever
think
of.
I just immediately, like, flash forward, and I'm thinking of him doing one of those crossword puzzles. You know, four-letter word for...
And he just yells
unit. Oh, unit. Yes, unit.
But he just yells it, and there's no one there to, like, it's sad. Like, he's not on the bus anymore for people to chime in with ideas.
He doesn't do the crosswords. Gil doesn't. Oh.
No?
No.
That was like their thing.
He just sleeps. So. Grace.
That's what he did during games.
No. See now.
Why I ought to slap you.
Grace from Maryland. It's easier to pin someone off a kickoff than a punt. It's easier to aim a kickoff because with a punt, you have guys coming full speed trying to block it. And by the way, me and my boyfriend are on our way to Boston for the game. Can't wait. So Grace is coming up from Maryland. It makes
good
sense, too, is, you know, you do have people rushing you when you're punting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a, you know, so that probably is a good, as good a answer as any. How's that cookie, Andy?
Pretty freaking good.
Yeah.
I stayed away from this one because it looked like I couldn't pick it up, but that one looks really yummy if I had a fork. It's like soft and gooey. Mm. And, mm.
Let's see. Ross is in Canada. Unbelievably pumped for another installment of the Battle of 1812. That's good. Last year,
that is pretty good. Has that been used a lot of places? Or
I don't think so.
That's pretty good.
Last year,
the War of 1812.
Right. Cover?
Now, if the score was 1812, that'd be phenomenal.
Yeah.
Well, not if from your purposes, because it would probably be 18 for Denver.
Right. Last year just wasn't the same without having Peyton on the field to heckle until my throat was sore. Few over-unders for you guys. Manning passing yards, 375.
Under.
Under. Manning, but not by a lot.
Manning interceptions, 1.5. One and a hay.
Under.
I'm going to say over.
Patriots run-pass balance, 45% run.
Sure.
So if we don't think they're going to run it 45% of the time, we say under?
I guess so.
Under.
Okay. Brady passing yards, 300.
Over.
Over. Over. Brady interceptions, 0.5.
I'm gonna say over.
Okay. The number of times a diving receiver gets his photo taken appearing to be looking directly into the camera while scoring a touchdown.
And
zero.
And not credited to PFW.
100 times. Was it on TV last night?
I don't know. I didn't watch
Fred
it.
Fred was too distraught over the debate.
I was.
It was before the debate.
It was a freaking nightmare.
No. It was before. It was 7 o'clock, right? At the end of...
Yeah, you're right. It was before. I just didn't think to watch it. I forget what I was doing. I don't know.
Chronicle was on. What do you want me to do? I know that's after that.
That's after that, too.
But yeah,
I'm not home in time for the
that photo really
sure
made its
either.
Rounds, the Keith Nordstrom photo of Brandon Lloyd. I think the Patriots are going to – there's been so many requests for it. You know, can I buy it, blah, blah, blah. They are going to have Brandon sign 100 of them, and I think they're going to sell them on the pro shop. So they will be available, signed copies from Brandon Lloyd.
I get it unsigned. Should get it signed by Keith Nordstrom. That's the man who's making the magic in that.
Well, maybe we should make a video.
Bother.
The DVD, the making of the photo. We could interview Keith.
It was called The Game.
You know.
he looks at me.
Pats win by low double digits. New England fans lucky enough to be there. Make some freaking noise for those of us at home.
Oh, can we just move past that? It's not going to happen, so let's just move on.
Weren't players talking about fans making noise yesterday? I thought I saw in the locker room uncut on Patriots.com that fans were saying, yeah, we need the fans to make
Well,
a
they
lot
always
noise.
Say that. Yeah, not specifically, though, like Richard Seymour did when he yelled at him for being louder for the Victoria's Secret model than for them.
Okay.
That sucks.
A lot of people want to chime in about the kicking versus punting. Peter writes and just want to chime in on the easiness of kicking a punt out of bounds versus a kickoff. It is significantly easier to kick an accurate punt. In Australia, we have Australian rules football in which the entire point of the game is to kick the ball through uprights, generally from around field goal range in the NFL. 50 meters is not entirely out of the realm of possibility. The kicks can be accurate if they use the drop punt kick technique, which is different from a normal punt technique for American football, because in American football, the aim is hang time plus distance instead of accuracy, because it helps the gunners close in on the returner and pin the return team back. If there is no penalty whatsoever, there should be no reason for an Australian kicker to kick 60 yards out of bounds with little fail. So next time the Jets are in town, ask their punter, Ben Graham, to show you a drop punt technique versus the NFL punt technique.
All right. Excuse me.
Michelle's getting more punt kick talk than she bargained for.
With her man flu.
Bo says Chandler Jones was the defensive rookie of the month for the NFL, not the AFC, just to clarify.
Correct. The urine stream was incorrect on that.
So that's huge for him.
Well, you yelled at me because it was everybody
But isn't
knew
that
about.
Great, don't you think?
Yes.
I think he had 17 tackles, 3 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, I think, or something like that.
Yeah.
Who really cares?
I think the 3 sacks and 2 forced fumbles are right.
No, I already knew the production he had in the first month. Like, I'm it's not like this award makes me go, woo, I can't believe the month he... No, I already knew exactly what he had
done. No, I
know,
but it's not often that Patriots rookies get rookie of the whatever. We don't get that a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I don't know when the last time was. What do you think of Brady getting the player of the week?
Player of the week? Not offensive player of the week?
Well, whatever. Whatever the offensive player of the week.
I think that's fine. I don't know. I'd have to know.
The guy, Hartline had like 250 yards receiving.
Okay, he should be in it.
I mean, seriously.
I know, but this is like where you have to tell me what everybody else did this week.
I mean, basically what I'm saying is I thought Tom Brady was his regular, normal. I mean, he shouldn't be penalized for that, but I didn't think there was really anything out of the ordinary that Tom
did
this
week. Had a rushing touchdown.
That's probably why he got it.
And he had, what, three passes?
Three touchdown passes and one rushing. I bet you that's why he got
it. Three and change, so.
The guy doing the voting had him on his fantasy team, probably. Something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, what were the other? I just
Brian Hartline had like a game for the ages. So he had like 13 catches for 250 something yards. I mean,
in a losing effort.
Yeah, but what are you gonna? I mean, so is that what you're basing it on?
Why are you yelling at me? I could care less about.
I didn't raise my voice even in the
players
slightest.
Of the month and players of the week.
I don't really either. Especially at the professional level, I think it sounds corny.
Oh, yeah, if my son ever wins player of the week, I'll be jumping
for
joy.
It's like a high school or college thing. Like, I don't really understand why
they
even...
You get a plaque with, like, a local landscaping company's name on it.
I don't know why they even do it in the pros.
You're in the paper.
Right.
The local
exactly.
Paper.
There's a box. It's always there. Yeah.
I think it's even sillier. In the NFL, at least, like, a week is a game, so... Like,
remember they actually used to do it? Like, Steve Grogan would hand it to Tom Brady,
oh,
and
yeah.
There was, like, a ceremony in, like, 01, 2000, in that era. These player of the weeks, they'd be part of, like, the press conference every
week. It's even sillier in the other sports. That, you know, like baseball and hockey and basketball, they play, you know, 80 and 162 games. It's ridiculous.
He played four games in the week and had blah, 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 blah.
American League Player of the Week for hitting .558.
American League Player of the Week for
brought to you by Shaw's.
She broke into a joke of Stigley right there. I like it.
Scott writes that I'm going in for a procedure tomorrow and I need a good show from you. I'm Fred's age and I will have my pants around my ankles and expect to be pretty drugged up tomorrow. Now, even though that may seem like fun to some of you artsy types, I don't expect to be in a very good mood. So please do a good show for me to listen to when and if I wake up.
It's not that big a deal.
What's he doing?
I'm assuming a colonoscopy.
Oh, I had one of those.
Nothing. Was not uncomfortable, was nothing.
Yeah, I actually enjoyed it.
I asked
a cigarette afterwards.
I asked for another.
Is there any raw meat I can throw you, like, was Elway a coward for not allowing the Colts to draft him many real quarterbacks who don't mind the challenge of bringing a team up with him? See Peyton Manning for one.
Yeah, I didn't whole Elway. I love Elway as a quarterback, but I didn't care for that.
Or was Bledsoe the most overrated quarterback the Patriots ever had based on what his understudy was able to do with a better work ethic for the same team?
Ooh.
What was his TD interception ratio again?
I don't know.
One to seven.
Maybe if Bo Jackson wasn't Maybe if Bo Jackson wasn't such an endorsement whore, maybe he could have played one sport and given his body.
You know a lot about whores since you grew up with your mother.
The proper rest and not been a shooting comet instead of a borderline Hall of Famer at this point. Or how about which is the product of another? Do people that wear V-necks not need a woman, or do women not need men that wear V-necks?
You got to reread that one later.
Yeah. Andy will, Eric will come in with a V-neck
today. Oh, no.
Well, he's got his regular shirt on.
But he's got something underneath.
PFW with one of his waffle shirts
underneath.
What, his
waffle shirts?
Blue waffle.
Evidently, that makes him look thicker.
You know, when we all talked about, you know, what are we going to do all winter, evidently... When it hit the mid-60s was the cut for Eric.
When you guys aren't here on Monday, he wears his boots with high heels. he does.
Like the cowboy ones?
Well, they're not
cowboy up, dude.
They're square-toed.
I call him Brokeback Mountain every time I see him.
Yeah, but he's got the high heels on him. They're like 4-inch heels.
He's got the high heels, Fred says.
I'll be honest. I've thought of ordering those things in the back of magazines that say they can make you 2.5 inches taller immediately.
Why?
I've always wanted to be taller.
What are you trying to impress?
No, I just always wanted to be taller.
Would you wear them in the gym?
No. No, you've never wanted to be taller.
Oh, of course, but I'm never going to be, so I
well, if
worry
you put the
2.5-inch
lifts in, you
would. Not as an adult. Yeah, but if to be honest with you, no.
If you're heightening, that's really bad. That's just, you know, because people can tell.
Obviously, that's why I've never done it, but I've thought it would be cool to be a little taller.
Yeah, not as an adult,
right,
though.
But you dream about
when
it.
I was a
I dream
kid.
About flying, you know?
You know, in high school and college, when, you know, if you
now,
were bigger,
with wings,
it mattered.
Or do you just levitate?
No, it starts being able to dunk, and then all of a sudden I'm flying everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You've had those,
to
right?
To be able to dunk?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe you've... Never mind.
Never had a wet dream. I know what you wanted to say.
No, I never have.
But I let you say it.
I can't believe it either for someone who apparently has so many dreams about so many intriguing things and realistic.
Maybe you
got real-life penises in your dreams.
Well, that might be the whole problem, and that's why he doesn't have the wet dreams, is because he's dreaming about the wrong body part.
You don't have dreams about women, like naked women?
Sure.
And never?
Never. Never. Tim in Indiana, to anybody who wants us to get a new kicker, who's available that's better? When Shane Graham had to come in, I was terrified every kick. If I remember correctly, he missed a point after. I can kick point afters. I trust Guskowski after every TD. There's no excuse to miss a point after. Nobody is automatic at hitting field goals, but I still fully trust Guskowski from anywhere within reason. I kind of feel that way.
Me too.
Yeah. The only thing about that is Shane Graham, I believe, was perfect on field goals. Mm-hmm. I think he did miss an extra point, but he made every field goal.
Yeah, he did. I mean, he was good while he was here.
I want Gostkowski over Shane Graham, don't get me wrong, but to criticize Shane Graham because he missed an extra point, that's a little silly.
And I'm sure there's a veteran kicker out there who could do the job. There's always a veteran kicker out there.
I don't want another kicker.
I don't either.
I like the kicker we have, but I might be clouded because I personally like him a lot, but I don't see any need to make a change now. But
2 weeks,
let's revisit
four
that
more
if he continues to struggle.
Darius writes in, what's up with Alfonso Denard? He's been injured most of the preseason, so we really didn't get to see much of him. I'd love to see him play. I still think the backfield on defense needs a little help.
I agree.
And I was intrigued by him, what little we did see in the preseason. I thought physically he looked like he could play.
Oh, he's got the Ty Law look, the thick build, squat kind of frame.
I like that.
I like what I see, and I agree with the idea they need. The secondary is by no means set in stone and productive, and there's a lot of questions there.
Peter in Medway wants to know, I just saw an amazing photo of Lloyd's touchdown catch in last week's game. Then I saw it in a few other places around the web. It's everywhere. Does anyone know where the photo came from? Fred, you should find the photographer and hire him immediately to shoot for PFW. With photos like that in the paper, people would be rushing to dial 1-800-494-PATS.
I believe he's mocking me.
He is. He says, I want to see Andy's head explode.
It did yesterday. And if Fred wants to miss out on opportunities like that to market the paper, that's his decision. He is the editor, the publisher, and everything. I'm just the slappy.
Mike has written...
You know what that's short for?
Slap Ricks.
Mike has a fist logo for Brandon Spikes. He thought of it after Fred talked about Spikes as the fist. If you guys like it, feel free to use it. I should probably talk to my brother first because he made it, though I'm sure he'd be happy with it as long as it's properly attributed.
Well, we don't attribute anything in our paper.
Right. We don't even attribute ourselves.
So there. 1-800-508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Chester's in Portland. Hey, Chester.
What's happening, boys? How you doing?
Good.
What's up, Chester?
You know, since last show, I've been researching Redbone, and my autocorrect keeps changing it to Red Bonehead, and all I can come up with is a picture of all of Bobby Valentine. Anyway, moving forward, we talked a little bit about personnel and scheming. I'm wondering what our approach is going to be on defense this week. If we're gonna really pressure on Peyton, or if we're gonna stave off that running game and just try to take control of this game early. Conversely, on offense, my opinion is we've got to keep the sub packages out there. What do you guys think there?
Keep the sub packages.
I don't think the Denver run game should be a major area of concern. I think it's more sub packages. I agree with Fred. Because I'm not sure that McGahee can really hurt you. Even if he breaks off a few, you know, decent sized runs, I don't think he's a threat to make any big, big plays. And in terms of pressuring Manning, I think you gotta try to mix it up a little bit. If you go after him consistently, you better get there. Because if you don't, he's gonna kill you.
Yeah, but we don't have to talk about blitzes.
My fear is that we turn this into a game against our secondary against Peyton, and that's what I'm worried about. What do you guys think we do on offense, though? My point about sub packages was more speaking to Denver. I think we're going to be in trouble if their base stays out there too long.
Well, I think you throw if they want to stay in their base.
I mean, their whole thing is they want other teams in base. That's kind of their whole philosophical model for this season. And if they go light, then they're going to run to try to get them back in base, and then when they get base, they're going to spread them out and throw it.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I'm glad we're at home for this one. Going a week ahead, I'm going to be in Seattle. I got wind that you guys might be there. Is that right?
I'll be there.
Fred's having a party. Having a party, right?
Yep. I can't wait.
We'll be announcing.
Kevin will be there. He wants to make sure everybody knows. It's all about him.
Well, for any of you guys out in the Northwest, you know, I'm here in Portland. I'm making the roadie up there. Link up with Barry Insiong on Patriots tailgate. I know you guys do a great job of getting that out there. Can't wait to see you guys, and you guys have a good one. Go Pats.
All right.
All right, Chester.
I think I'm going to ask for pat downs before people come into the party.
Why?
I'm just a little weird. A little weird.
For your own safety? You think people are after you?
I think there could be gunplay.
Gunplay.
Ken's in North Carolina. Hey, Ken.
Hey, man. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, Ken.
I'm glad you didn't hang up on me after I said that.
No, not on this show.
No, we like people on this show. This is about interacting as a sports community. We're not douchebags like Mike Felger.
Wow.
And he is. I don't like his show, and I'm with you. I'm going to not listen any longer.
Well, thank you. That's what good people should do, boycott the bad people.
Make sure you listen on Wednesdays between 4 and 5.
I've caught your shows.
Thank you.
Actually, Paul, I really like you.
Oh, wow.
Listen.
That's very nice of you. You're one of the few.
There are very few of us. But
that's true.
Listen, going back to dinner. Now, he's back on the field this week, right?
Well,
I don't know. We'll see.
He's still on the injury report.
Yeah, we'll see what happens on Friday.
With a hammy. He looks good in the locker room walking around.
I saw something this morning that he was back on the field.
No, he's never not been on the field practicing.
He's generally limited in practice.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. I'd like to see him as safety.
Maybe.
They need the help at corner, though, right?
And he's a little short.
Yeah.
Although Patrick Chung's short, too.
He is chunky.
He is chunky. He's thick. He's
built. He's very thick.
As I said earlier, I liken him to the Ty Law kind of thick cornerback.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
So I want to see him play corner.
Here, let's use him.
Yeah, I want to see him play corner first. So I want to see, the whole MO on him was a first, second round talent that you stole in the seventh round.
Is he better than one of the corners you have? Let's find out.
Yeah.
And so far, we haven't really had a chance. I'm not saying he is. We haven't seen him.
Safety, I think we need some serious work on.
Yeah, it's funny because I felt good about that position coming in with Chung back healthy and Gregory I thought would be way better.
Hasn't always played out.
Yeah, the angles last week would have made Brandon Merriweather and Sergio Brown proud.
Oh, you got it. You got it.
Okay,
all right, Ken.
Thanks for calling in. Brian is in New Mexico. You guys are dead wrong in dismissing the skill of the Broncos secondary. Brian Dawkins did a great job of coaching up young safety Raheem Moore, and their other safety veteran Mike Adams has been their best defensive player this season. The star of the secondary is not Champ Bailey, but rather Tracy Porter. Nobody had a better pair of corners. A Devin McCourty-style question for you is the real Donald Thomas the guy we saw against the Cardinals or the guy we saw against the Bills or somewhere in between?
The last thing.
You think so?
Yeah. I don't think he's as terrible as he looked against the Cardinals.
No.
He's a competitive guy.
And based on all the stuff that I read from the people that break it all down for us.
Is that Bedard? You keep saying this. Why don't you just say his name?
Yeah, he's one. The Herald had one report card as well.
Who does that?
I think Karen, normally Ron Borges, but he didn't do it this week. Karen Grigian did. Evidently, he didn't play necessarily as well as everybody gave him credit for. And I don't know if that's true. I don't watch a lot of the interior line play unless it gets blown up and you can see it. So I'll plead guilty on that. I couldn't tell you
he'd
how.
He'd go against a Pro Bowler.
And as far as Tracy Porter goes, I would tell you to put on the Houston game and tell me how good he is. Because they must have thrown 3 50-yard touchdowns on him in that game easily. Tracy Porter is a gambler who will come up with plays.
It's OTIS.
He plays off all the time, which I think plays right into what the Patriots want to do offensively because it allows guys like Welker and Lloyd and those guys to get into their routes very easily without getting knocked off and jammed at the line. I think the Broncos secondary is suspect.
Okay.
Let's put it that way.
All right. Louis writes in, hey, guys, how are ya? I had a question about the X and O's. I've heard of a cover called cover 1-2-3, but with a robber. What is the assignment of the robber, or what does he do?
I have no idea.
You don't know what a robber is?
No.
I never heard the term, actually.
Oh, I've heard the term. And
never have.
I think it has to do with a guy who's a part secondary, part linebacker, sort of the money position.
Well, that's what I thought. He kind of plays down.
And that's what it was in college. When I played,
he's almost like a short center fielder.
That's what it was in college when I played. I think it's something like that. It wasn't called a robber. It was something different. I forgot one. But I think it's that. It's the hybrid linebacker, safety, money.
Right.
that all rolled it, but the specific, I don't know.
Eric's here, just back from practice.
Hey, Freddie.
How you doing?
Doing well.
What do we got?
Well, it's good news for those of you who are concerned about Aaron Hernandez.
He practiced!
He did.
You're kidding.
I kid you not.
Wow.
And the timing is couldn't be any more...
better?
Sure, okay.
obviously, you didn't want to say better, so I see what happened there. I see what happened.
Yeah.
More good.
People were engaging me via Twitter this morning, asking about Hernandez because they saw...
You're engaged?
No.
Twitter was blowing up.
Yes, because of an Albert Breer report that said that Hernandez was going to play in the Seattle game. It sounded very definitive with this report, so people were asking me, well, when's he going to play, this and that, and I was saying, well, he might be back sooner than you think. People were saying, oh, after the bye, maybe, you know, maybe the Rams game in London or whatever, and I said, I maybe even a little sooner than that, and today he was out there practicing. Now, noticeable limp when he was running in his drills.
Really?
But
you think he's going to play?
No,
not this week.
I think he has
week,
a 0% chance of playing on Sunday.
I agree.
No, but the fact that he's working his way back to being out in uniform is huge.
Yeah. Oh, it's great news.
Huge.
Great news.
I think
he's a fast healer.
Maybe.
I'm on now. Always. Every time he gets injured from now on, I'm taking the under.
That medicinal.
Well.
That was good.
But anyway, aside from him, Gronkowski returned to practice as well.
Yep.
Didn't look too bad. I mean, you know, he was going slowly.
Yeah.
But
they were stretching, for God's sake.
As to Andy's point yesterday about Mankins not playing after he played with the hip injury.
Right.
Gronk was back after
one
day.
Good that he's out there.
Good that he's out there again.
Good that he's out there.
And our favorite, uh-oh.
And Alan Ewey
was back out as well. So all three tight ends who were missing yesterday are back.
Does Logan Mankins have a new injury yet?
No. Logan was out there. Only three missing players. That's probably not going to stop them from being 25 people on the injury report, though. I think it's bigger and bigger every day.
Yeah.
Edelman, Gregory, and you can add Rozai Dowling to that list.
Oh, boy.
So maybe he had been struggling with an injury?
On the way home from practice yesterday.
You think?
What happened?
What'd you say?
Do you think Dowling might have been struggling with an injury prior to this? No?
I don't,
no.
Personally.
Okay.
Doesn't mean that he didn't. I don't think he was.
All right.
Did he cut?
What else you got, Eric? Is that it?
No, I don't think so.
Pretty active locker room today, Fred.
Yeah?
Yeah, we talked to Brandon Bolden, which I was a little surprised at. Brandon Spikes.
It's Brandon Day.
Yeah. Brandon Spikes,
Lloyd.
Brandon Bolden.
No. Brandon Lloyd?
No.
I don't think he talked.
No.
Yesterday
he did not.
Yeah.
Brandon Cruz.
Who the F
Who's
is that?
Who's that?
Courtship of Eddie's
father. Eddie's father.
I
knew that name.
Come on.
Stephen Gostkowski talked about his struggles at Buffalo. Manned up. And Vince Wilfork. So it was a pretty big day.
All right, good. All right, there's your practice
report. A quick question.
Details on the blog later.
Tom Brady was out there, right?
Yeah.
Is Tom Brady going to be on the injury report today?
That's a good question,
too. Or are we starting a trend here week to week where Wednesday he is limited and now he's not?
Right. Yeah, we'll have to see.
Yeah. That practice report was brought to you by Thomas Kincaid Galleries.
one-of-a-kind art fair.
All right.
Struggling artists.
It's time for our weekly pick segment,
have to throw that in
which is now brought to us by Subway. It's time now.
You already said that. You said
Subway. The official training restaurant of the New England Patriots.
It's certainly not of Fred Kirsch because they don't want to be associated
it's
with a body like that.
It's the official training restaurant of the New England Patriots.
Okay.
And Eric Scalavino.
So Subway.
When he swims, he fuels up with a sub before he gets in the water. And Aaron Hernandez, too.
If you want good bread, go to Subway. If you want to make bread, listen to our picks.
Oh, da-dum. Shh.
All right.
And Brandon Spikes revealed that his nickname on the basketball court was the bread truck. So it all comes full circle.
The bread truck.
Yes.
Charles Barkley.
Yes.
Now, what does that have to mean?
Here comes the bread truck.
Is that because,
he was like a
pickup games and you're making money?
No. Like, he was a physical presence out there.
So why not, like, a ice cream truck?
I don't know.
I mean, there's more ice cream trucks than
I
bread.
Think we're going,
all right, we got to hurry. Subway picks.
More milk trucks out there than bread trucks.
Gas truck, oil truck.
We're going to start with the
sewage
Thursday
truck.
Night game. The game's played on Thursday.
That's a good place
week,
to start.
Freddie,
what happened?
Last week, Eric and I went 12-3.
Boom.
Andy went 11-4.
But Fred in the paper, Andy went 14-2.
Fred went 7-8.
Wow.
You suck.
With the spread.
What?
With the spread, I went 11-3-1.
That's good.
And he keeps the notebook. I just want to remind everybody.
Fred went 7-7-1.
Well, that's nice. That's
Andy good. And Eric went 6-8-1.
That's really not good.
So for the season, I am leading at 41-22.
Eric, he keeps the notebook.
Eric is 39-24. Andy is 35-28.
Oh, I'm not in last.
Yeah. And you're above the Mendoza line.
You're kind of in last. Fred is 22-13.
Yeah, but he's above 500.
No, actually, percentage-wise, he'd be ahead of.
No, he'd be in last.
No.
Yes, you would.
No.
I know you would.
I never am.
With the spread, I'm 32-28.
No, we can just say things and
Eric
pretend
is 28-32-3. Andy is 26-34-3. And Fred is 20-13-2.
There you go.
Fred doesn't have as many ties as everybody else either.
All right. Thursday night, 8:20. It really kicks off at 8:33, just so everyone knows.
Is that true?
I really hate the way NFL Network presents that.
Oh, it's not just them, though. It's everybody.
Oh, but it's everybody. They have like a three-hour pregame show. Then the real, you know, the kickoff pregame show starts at 8 o'clock. They say the kickoff's at 8:20. It doesn't start till 8:33. It's ridiculous. They keep you hanging on that. NFL
so now
Network.
We know. I can
like
watch
it.
Something else till 8:30 and then click
Absolutely.
Over.
Absolutely.
Good. Good, Fred.
So Arizona at St. Louis.
Arizona by one.
You know what?
I don't know.
I'm going to stick with my boy Bradford, even though I have the fear that he's going to get batted around a little bit by that defense.
Just a little bit.
I am. I'm going to stick with my boy Bradford. This is going to be a big game for him. Knock off the unbeaten Cardinals.
That's very tempting, but yeah, I'm gonna go with the hot team right now, and that's the Cardinals to win and cover.
St. Louis wins 3-2.
Good.
3-2.
Arizona wins. All right. Now we move to Sunday at 1. Miami at Cincinnati.
Cincinnati by 3.5.
I'll take Cincinnati to win and cover. I know Miami's been very, very, you know, hair close last couple of weeks. I don't think it'll be that close this week. I think Cincinnati's the better all-around football team.
I agree. And at home, I think they put a little bit of a whooping on the overrated Dolphins.
Whooping.
The overrated Dolphins.
Wow.
I will take Cincinnati as
that
well.
That was meant to be a little tongue-in-cheek.
I think Andy Dalton is really developing into a pretty good quarterback. So mm-hmm. I like the Bengals early. Their schedule has been ridiculous.
They can never get Benny to stop fumbling. They'll be okay.
2 weeks in a row. The schedule has been ridiculously easy. So I'm not quite sold on the Bengals themselves yet. But I think AJ Green and Andy Dalton are going to be one of those tandems that we remember.
In Miami, I might have actually picked Miami, but I'm going to pick Cincinnati. Green Bay at Indianapolis.
Green Bay by 7.
Yeah, Green Bay probably will put up some points in this one, try to get a little momentum going offensively. And even though Luck is on Indy's side, it won't work out.
Green Bay, much better team, obviously. But I think the Colts surprisingly keep it a little close for a while. But in the end, Packers win and cover.
I'm going to take Green Bay as well. At some point, that Packer offense has to click. And if not indoors against a team like Indianapolis, I wonder if maybe this just isn't the year for Aaron Rodgers and the boys,
So he's no longer playing the position as well as?
Did anybody say that this year, Andy?
I don't know when anybody says that. Who said that originally?
Because I think it would be inaccurate to say that he's playing the position as well as it's ever been played right now.
Who said that originally?
I believe you said it was Trent Dilfer.
Oh, I said. Well, I don't care for Trent Dilfer.
So I am taking
Green
Bay as
well. Talk about
a
pompous ass.
I'm going to take Green Bay as well. Sunday at 1, Baltimore at Kansas City.
Baltimore by 6.
Baltimore by more than 6. Kansas City, not good. And we are seeing a major overhaul of expats when you're going to see Castle, Crennel, and Pioli all get shipped out of town. Oh, maybe Castle can be our backup next year.
That wouldn't be so bad. I will take the very good Baltimore Ravens team over a Chiefs team that has found ways to come back against other good teams, but I don't think that's going to happen against the Ravens.
Okay.
I like Baltimore as well, although I would caution the Ravens have not done well. This is the Nick in San Diego's team that he should be focusing on. This team does not play well on the road. Baltimore. They have not played well on the road for 2 years. But I think that the Chiefs are in disarray, as Andy said. I'll take the Ravens.
Me too. I have to take the Ravens. Would love to take the Chiefs, but I can't.
Why do you have to tell us every game who you'd love to take? Just tell us who you take.
Because I want people to know who I'm rooting for.
You're just
for.
Covering your bases is what you're doing.
No.
I'm just conversing with the fans.
If they were in Miami, I'd take Miami, yeah, but I'm taking the Bengals.
I like those better when he tells you if the game was played.
I'd love to take the Colts, well, but I'm taking the Packers.
I'm waiting for him to say if the Ravens were playing someone else, I would take the Ravens.
I thought I would say that because Eric thought that the Miami was overrated. So
I liked it better when you just picked a team and said no analysis.
Well, why don't you just, again,
ooh.
Bigger ears, that was bigger close. Eyes, smaller mouth.
Bigger eyes?
Yeah. See more. Hear more, talk less.
You don't remember the lecture you got yesterday? Did you forget that
I
already?
I stopped listening.
He gave you that lecture yesterday.
On the air?
It was just 24 hours ago.
I said, if your eyes and ears were as big as your mouth, you'd be all right.
And he said it just like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What did I pick? Oh, Kansas City. No, I picked Baltimore.
You wanted to pick Kansas City, but you picked
Cleveland at the Giants.
Cleveland at the Giants. Giants by 9.
This is a giant undertaking for my guy.
That was my New York
I'm going to take the Giants. Cleveland, not a very good football team.
Yeah, Giants at home, win and cover.
I will take the Giants, but I will take the points because
you believe in the Whedon, do you?
Not so much there, but
Whedon smoking.
I think Cleveland's decent defensively.
Oh, speaking of which, Jody Hartman made an appearance in the office today.
Yeah. Speaking of Whedon.
Speaking of medicine.
Medicinal purposes.
I am going to pick this as my upset of the week. Going to go with Cleveland both ways.
He wanted to
as
pick
Al Michaels would say.
No, that's Cleveland. This one he actually said. He does.
Right.
He does say
Cleveland.
Al Michaels does have a lot of those weird little intonations. Sorry, Eric. I didn't mean to put you on your side of the street there.
Philadelphia at Pittsburgh. Philadelphia at Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh by 3.5.
Mendenhall is back, correct?
Jesus.
I was just writing down Philadelphia because I know you just disdain everything about Pittsburgh, but I forgot Mendenhall might come back.
Well, I don't love Philadelphia either. What's the status of Polamalu and Harrison?
Don't know.
I
crickets.
Don't know. If I did research, I would have a good record.
I guess I will go with the Mendenhalls.
I'm going to agree with you.
You're going with the worthless hot dog?
I'm going with the worthless hot dog at home over the even more worthless Vic. Rhymes with, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'm not quite as down on Pittsburgh as Fred and Andy are. I think the Steelers are a better team, and I think they will win this game at home.
I'm so down on Pittsburgh, I'm picking Philly. Our last Sunday at
one. But he wanted to pick Roethlisberger.
Our last Sunday at one game, Atlanta at Washington. Atlanta at Washington.
What's the number?
Atlanta by 3.
I am going to say that Brandon Merriweather runs into RG3 before the game, knocks him out, and the Falcons move to 5-0 as the only undefeated team in football.
They're going to be able to do that even with Robert Griffin III on the field. Matty Ice wins and covers.
The White Ice beats the Black Rifle.
Why does he have to bring that up?
I will take Atlanta, but this is I think they should be on alert. The Falcons are not as good as I'm sorry, no disrespect meant for the throw a dart index, but I think the Falcons are they're on the precipice.
I like that. That's how it's become known. The throw a dart.
No, it's actually
I just follow the lead of my boss
as right. I told you who the best team in football was last year. And that team, with a rookie third-string quarterback, won a playoff game and were very close to continuing despite the injuries, and it proved that they were the best all-around team in football.
You did.
No further questions.
You went about
so
every
I'll
other
take Atlanta.
Analyst. I'm going to take Atlanta as well. Seattle. Now, this is a 4:05 game, just so we've transitioned to later in the afternoon. Seattle at Carolina. Seattle at Carolina.
Carolina by 3.
You will see Cam Newton sulking in this one. That front of Seattle's is going to get after him, and they're going to force turnovers, and they're going to make things tough on him, hit him, and it's not going to go well. Seattle's going to kick their ass.
Sorry, Paul, what was the number again?
Trey.
Carolina by 3.
Carolina by 3.
No hay.
I like the fight in both of these teams. I'm going to go with the home team. And
I've always thought you were a homer.
Oh my God! To win and cover,
Andy's
Paul.
Face right now. He's so proud of himself. It's like he did his first poop as a baby. You know.
Yeah, I stick with my theory. Two bad teams.
Mommy, look
go
what
the
I
home.
Did. Poopy.
Doo doo.
Caroline.
Carolina. I'm going with Carolina.
He stepped on Paul's pick. He's not happy with
you. Oh, did I?
No, I just wanted to.
I thought he said Carolina.
I did.
Yeah, but he was talking while you were making doo-doo
references. No. Oh. Fred was with me. Listen, don't you worry about my boss. You just leave my boss alone.
Good, Paul.
He's doing a good job.
Thanks.
Although he has skipped a 1 o'clock game. I'm gonna leave that to later, though.
Oh, I did?
I don't believe we talked about Tennessee-Minnesota, have we? Isn't that a 1 o'clock game?
I didn't make
no,
a pick.
No, it isn't.
Well, according to the paper, it is.
Not according to NFL.com.
Then I'm guessing it's a 1 o'clock game.
It was changed then.
No,
says right
it could
here.
Just be wrong on... Well, it could be wrong in either place, but
well,
I'm guessing
true.
NFL.com is usually the one that's wrong.
But I'm going to guess that the Boston Herald is wrong.
All right.
Why did Howe do it?
405 game, Chicago at Jacksonville. Chicago at Jacksonville. Jay Cutler, the hottest quarterback in the NFL?
Oh, God almighty.
Chicago by 6. I'm cutting ties with my boss after that comment, by the way.
I'll take the hothead quarterback on the road because, you know, I will not be picking for Jacksonville very often this
year.
No.
Because it's Jacksonville.
No, and the Bears are playing pretty well right now, even though Cutler is, you know, flies off the handle every once in a while. But
yeah. Who'd you take?
Who do you think?
He took the Bears.
Pretty much if the Jags are the option, I'm taking the other team.
Okay.
I'm not a big fan of Sean
Conn's squad. You picked the Bears as well, Eric?
Yeah, win and cover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Chicago rolls.
Me too. All right, now we go to 425.
I don't like them on the road as much. But...
Now we're down to 425, and I think these are all CBS.
This game was in Chicago.
Everybody's going to tell us who they'd like to pick or where they might pick a team.
Tennessee.
Shut up.
Tennessee at Minnesota.
Shut up, you.
Tennessee at Minnesota, which is a 425 game.
Maybe.
The Vikings by 5.5. The surprising 3-1 Vikings.
Who's the quarterback? Matt Hasselbeck will be playing?
Yeah.
I would assume.
I think Locker's out, right?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Shoulder left.
Dislocated.
Shoulder left.
I am going to take the Tennessee Titans on the road, and I'll be honest with you, just a feeling. Don't really have a good reason.
I will go with the Vikes to win at home, Paul, but I think Hasselbeck does keep it close within the number, so I'll take the points.
All right.
I'm not going to do it. I'm going to take Minnesota. If Locker were healthy, maybe I would think differently. I don't think Hasselbeck can do it anymore, at least not for a full game. He'll have his moments, but I don't think anything of the Vikings, but I think when they wake up on Monday, they're going to be 4-1.
All right, I agree. I'm going to go with Minnesota. Buffalo at San Francisco, 425. Can Buffalo bounce back against a tough team on the road?
Niners by 9.5.
Tough spot for Buffalo.
Niners win in cover. I don't take teams that roll over, and the Bills rolled over. They stink.
Chan Gailey questioned his team's toughness.
Yeah. He should. Anybody who watched that game should.
Oh, yeah. The second half was just disastrous.
Bills have no balls.
The Buffalo balls?
Ballless.
Yeah.
Ballless.
They go West Coast and get thumped. Niners win and cover.
Okay.
I will take the Niners to win. I'll take the points.
I'm going to go with Paul. I'm going to take those points.
I'm going to go with Paul.
Now, I'm going to skip over.
What is this?
I don't know.
He's totally gone to like three-year-old. You know,
totally gone to. That's him.
I'm going to skip over the Patriots 425 game and go to Sunday night at 8:20, San Diego at New Orleans.
New Orleans by 3.5.
Kevin.
Wow.
What?
Nothing.
He's going to take the Chargers. Idiot.
Oh.
My God.
How long have we been doing this?
I am going to take New Orleans to get off the schneid.
Okay.
This is a really tough call.
It
really is because the
it really is. No one argued with you.
I was anticipating some sort of pushback there. But Saints going 0-5, it's hard to take, but I'm going to go with
Wow, he just loves doing it.
It's the gayest song ever. Of course he does.
And you dance to it every time.
I love it. It's a great song.
What's the number again?
3.5. New Orleans by 3.5.
So I'll take San Diego. Yeah,
I'll take the Saints. I agree, it's a tough one to call. I could definitely see the 3-13 season unfolding for New Orleans, but I think they find a way to get a win here and put a stop to it. And supposedly Drew Brees has all the coaches coming now. you know, to piggyback on our argument from yesterday, Sean Payton, Mickey Loomis. What's Mickey Loomis done, by the way?
Right.
And
what's
Joe Vitt, they're all done. They're all going to be at the game as a request of Drew Brees.
Yeah.
So I think they find a way to get a win
rally
for all those guys.
Monday night. Oh, I'm going to take New Orleans. Monday night, 8:30, Houston at the Jets, and I am so glad this game's being played in New Jersey.
Can you imagine the Jets are only underdogs by 8 points in this game? It feels like they have as much chance as Everett High would have against the Houston Texans.
I thought Everett was that good.
Well, they are that good, as you know.
This game worries me.
What a disgraceful comment in that email chain, by the way.
This game worries me a little bit for my Houston Texans and the poster child for the Wilson Hart Power Index. I still don't trust them like I should trust a team that was very good last year, 4-0 this year. There's some doubt in my mind. So
because of Schaub?
They can't eliminate that doubt.
Because their defense is legit.
They can't eliminate that doubt until they do
good,
it in a playoff game against a good team.
I'm going to take them to win and cover because that's what you should do right here. That's the logical answer. But like Fred would say, I won't be surprised if it's tight or even if the Jets pull up some
crazy
upset.
So if this game were in Houston,
I'd still pick Houston.
I will take Houston to win and cover.
No gay song for them?
I'm going to take Houston also.
They used to have the Houston Oilers, which was, you know, the Miami Dolphins stole it and changed the lyrics. Mm-hmm. But
I don't really know how it goes.
Houston Oilers.
Houston Oilers.
Okay.
Houston Oilers.
Even John Rook chiming in. Hook 'em horns.
You don't tell him not to bang on the console.
And the Miami
Dolphins.
He's a
professional. He can do what he wants.
I will take Houston, but I do agree with Andy. If there's any semblance of anything in that Jets locker room, they come to play and make life difficult. I just think Houston's that much better.
Right.
That even though the Jets will play better this week, Houston, I think, is pretty good. The one thing I'd like to see about them, you said you don't trust them yet, Andy. I'd like to see them fall behind by 14 and see how they can play. They love to run the ball and throw the ball when they want to. And Schaub is pretty good at it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd like to see if they have to scrap their game plan like the Patriots so often are able to do. They can adapt to whatever the way the game is played. I don't know if Houston can do that.
I'm going to take Houston as well. I just want to see the Jets just
implode
in front of their fans.
I gave you my prediction yesterday, Fred, for the week six.
Pain.
Yeah, he says right. Tebow.
Tebow's going to start the Jets game here.
We were talking about that on the show.
Yeah.
All right, now we go back to 425.
Paul.
Denver.
Wait a minute.
Take us. There you go.
All right, Denver comes to New England. Paul?
Patriots by 6.5.
6.5.
Patriots win and cover. As I said, I'm in mold of 30-20, so somewhere in the third, you know, about a 10-point split here between the two teams. I think Manning is proven that he's going to throw for 300 yards and be pretty good. That doesn't necessarily mean the Patriots won't get a turnover or whatever, but I think that's where these teams are right now. And I do think that defense is decent, so they might put up a little fight. But even if they do, I think the Patriots still get into the 30s.
Yeah, Patriots will win this game. I think it's going to be a scare, though, for Patriots fans.
Okay.
Even though the defense has improved.
It's not yet Halloween.
I'll take the Broncos with the number.
All right. Ooh, Negativino back.
I'm with Eric. I think the Patriots win the game, but I think it's going to be a high-scoring game that it's going to go back and forth. Mm-hmm. I like the Patriots 34-28, so I'll steal that half point and say the Broncos will cover.
Yeah, I think the Patriots, it might be tight, but I think at the end, I'm with Andy, I think they win by a 10-point margin or so. All right, so that's the Subway picks for this week. John Rook's here with the Patriots playbook with his Thursday show. What's up, John?
What's up, Fred?
Nothing much. We're getting ready for this game. How are you feeling?
Felger would have blown up both of you. You couldn't have that conversation.
We can't have that conversation.
Audacity.
We're being nice to each other.
Did you know that?
Yeah,
on his radio show, he's banning people that say, like, how are you? Good.
Right, you're done.
Is there a bigger douchebag on the planet?
I'm going to reserve comment.
Oh, come on. You know you want to say he's smart.
No, because he wants to say that there's one in this room.
No, not necessarily.
I think pleasantries have a place in this world.
I think it's nice to be civil.
And it's coming from you?
It takes like a half a second. I always say hello, how are you? Always. And then I might tell you you're an a-hole or something, but at least I'm going to say the nice thing to open the door.
Jerk he is. Wow. Okay. All so right. How are we feeling about the game?
Yeah.
Feeling actually pretty good about the game this week. I think Denver has probably more than maybe we realize they have. I think they've got some pretty good individual pieces to the puzzle. I just get the sense, though, that with that second half, that what we saw at Buffalo, maybe
Zaccario.
Maybe there's, I think that maybe there's, we're going to find out how much momentum is really rolling.
Yeah.
But until I see otherwise, until they show us otherwise, I think that'll probably keep them rolling for a little bit.
All right. Well, John's here from 2 to 4 to get your calls and emails on the playbook. And then the Football Nation show takes over at 4 o'clock, and they'll be here until 6. Another full day of Patriots.com radio. Have a good game on Sunday, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Thanks for lunch.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.